I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Yeah. Hi, 1,336 shows. Looks like we're going to last. March 19th, 2019. Date your checks accordingly. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. La, 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 la. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Good morning. Sandberg's back.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Did you have a nice break?
I did have a nice break. Celebrated my husband. It was his birthday, his 50th birthday.
So he's old now.
He is old. And
does he know he's old, or is he still denying it?
Oh, no, he knows he's old.
He's full in?
I think every day he says his body is telling him that.
Dave, I don't know if you saw this, Dave, because you're, you know, a physical marvel. But at 49 and 364 days, you feel like $1 million.
Yep.
You hit 50 and crap starts to fall off you. I mean, it's unbelievable. 50 is a crossover point. 49, 364 days, Brad Pitt. 50, me. Yeah.
I see, I don't know. I mean, I think certainly...
Again, you're a physical marvel, Dave.
No,
but, Dave hasn't hit that wall
yet. No, your recovery time is a little longer now. I would say that.
No kidding. A hangnail takes me 6 months to get over.
I bent over to tie my shoe and I pulled my back.
Right.
Now, because, that happened at 50.
Because I was celebrating my husband, who happens to share a birthday with you, I was not here for your birthday.
Right.
And
Is first with you.
I missed all the festivities. In particular, I thought the cake that you were given was quite funny.
You're talking about the poop cake?
Yeah, it was awesome. The poop emoji cake was fantastic. Cake.
Did it taste good?
Nobody wanted to taste the little poop.
The poop cupcakes?
Cupcakes.
Sure. I scarfed one of them.
They kept showing up in various places around the
station. Real damaging thing to me was my granddaughter, Abigail, was here. And she loves chocolate. Just like her grandpa. Just like Pops. And I turned a corner and I saw her eating one of those. And I went, no!
And she had it all over her face smeared. Just
yeah. I just, you know, I don't like that kind of funny. It's just, you know, I don't
That's
go.
Why we did it.
Yeah, I know. The purveyor of that, by the way, is spending her last day with us. Our boss, Stephanie, is leaving. Today is her final day here. And Stephanie Titchener, one of the best people we know, has got a nice new job. And she's leaving after today, so we're going to miss her.
And we're not going to have any more birthday cakes, because she's the one that has the deal going with the cake maker.
I think it's you now, Mary.
No.
Yep.
No.
It's your job. You inherited it.
I gave up the refrigerator, giving up the cakes.
I just looked at the flow chart. You are now vice president of cakes as of tomorrow morning.
That's correct.
Dang it. Always get more jobs, not less.
The other problem, Steve, is that she is the keeper of the candy.
Yeah, yes. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Her office problem. Is the place where you may or may not sample candy from sometimes during the show.
Steal? Sample? Yeah, same thing. Though I do fund most of that, don't I?
She does do other things besides get candy, but and cakes.
So far, yeah, I was going to say.
What are we
going to
do about costumes?
Her job
is all our festivities.
Her job is quite busy, other than the fun. It's not all fun and games.
Right there, Mary, you just hit on something. We no longer need to dress up for Halloween.
Oh.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
I know.
Well, that was fun, kind of.
Well, looks like, just think about 6 months from now when we're all Olympic athletes because we won't be eating candy every day.
Yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us haven't been eating candy every day, Steve.
You've been offered.
Yes, every morning. Every morning you offer me candy.
We do need that chocolate pick-me-up, though.
Yeah.
It's very important to our daily occurrence.
Well, I'll just give you the money. You go get it.
Oh, man, that's another job I'll have.
You've got cakes and candy now, Mary, and costumes.
No costumes. I'm not doing the costumes.
How'd we do last night on the ice, Dave?
The Blackhawks fell to the Vancouver Knuckleheads by a score of 3-2.
So they were cheating.
In overtime, by the way.
Yeah, Vancouver cheated.
Yeah, they didn't cheat. Blackhawks didn't look good last night. It's one of the rare times over the last month or so where they just were kind of lacking something. They were able to still somehow get the lead after one period on a late power play goal when Taves knocked it in from in front of the net off a Kane assist. But, they weren't quite there last night.
And that defensive lapse in overtime was ugly.
Yeah, but at least you get the point.
You get the point, but Vancouver gets
ahead two.
Two.
And they get two, and they're right on your heels. And Arizona lost last night, which meant you could have picked up another point on them.
So, but I said they could lose three the rest of the way. Now they can lose two.
Well, I think, there are still 20 points available to them.
Yeah.
So they got 70.
Wait, they have 10 games left?
10 games left, so they could get to 94 points if they win them all.
Okay, so 8-2 will be fine. 8-2 will get them.
8-2 will get them.
8-2 will get them to 90.
At least put them right there. You want to be there that last day,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Next game is when?
Next game is Thursday, and they will take on the Philadelphia Flyers. It'll be their last game against an Eastern Conference team until the Stanley Cup Final.
Exactly what you said. Now, the pattern has been, they had 2 8-game losing streaks this fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to come back from one, let alone two. They've been able to do that almost entirely. They're still above 500. But the pattern has been they come back, they win 4 or 5, and then they skid. You know, then they lose a chunk. You can't do that now.
Not now. No, you can't. Season will be over.
They got to get right back on the horse.
Well, your math, they can lose two.
They can lose
that
two.
That can be the chunk.
That can be the chunk, but then you got to win 8 in a row.
But here's the problem. You got the home and home with Colorado coming up.
Got to win both.
This weekend. You really do. Or beat the Flyers tomorrow night. Well, you should win both and then win at Arizona. I mean, you got to go. I think they go to Denver, home for Colorado, and then out to Arizona,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of travel in there over a short span of time. But Arizona, I mean, kind of feel like it's coming down to that game next Tuesday.
Well, I feel like I'll give them the Flyers if they need a night off, you know, if they want to lose to the Flyers. But you got to win those next three.
Okay.
I mean, this time next week, they could be in fine shape, provided they win the weekend. And the Arizona game.
Which way is it? The home and home on Saturday. Do we go there first,
come here first? I thought the Blackhawks are there.
Yeah, okay. Here Sunday.
At Colorado first and then home to take on the Avalanche to Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. Steve, are you going to that?
Dave and I have already decided we're going to stay till Tuesday.
Oh, you're going to Arizona then.
Yeah, we're going to extend our romantic weekend one extra day. It's 6:16, almost 6:17. We'll come back and we'll get your top six at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
It's 6:22, and the Steve Cochran Show continues with the top 6 at 6. Nebraska is just underwater. We feel for the people of Nebraska because this flooding is just epic. We're talking about 50-year floods. And now here in Illinois, the people along the Des Plaines River once again have a huge issue. Highest river level in 50 years in Freeport. Warnings along the Fox and Des Plaines Rivers. God bless you, man. It's just, it seems like every spring, about this time it gets bad, but this is a really bad one. And we're hoping for the best. There's only something, you know, Dave, here's the problem. The water's got to go somewhere.
Yep. Yeah. And there's a lot of it. And I was talking to somebody from Nebraska who was telling me they absolutely got hammered.
Yep.
I mean, much more snow than we got. And just piles and piles of it up until, like, last week.
And then it melts.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, you're an expert in sump pumps and things like that from a few weeks ago when we got a lot of rain.
Having bought several of them?
Yes. And you were in your backyard surveying some damage, et cetera.
In the middle of a rainstorm.
Has anyone contacted you about any of the flooding? Is it for aid or help or advisory?
Yeah, the people in Nebraska said don't call.
We
have enough problems right now. Next, tiny Illinois town has become the latest battleground in an effort to build an immigration detention center in an area near Chicago. ICE is looking to contract with a detention center and recently posted a request for one and the same within an 80-mile radius of Chicago's immigration court. That's according to a website with information about the same. The feds are seeking a facility that can house up to 1,000 people in various levels of security and could facilitate travel to and from cities like Milwaukee and Indianapolis. It goes to the larger number of detainees in the country than in the past and the need for more facilities. Next, Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's going to pay raises and back pay, the stuff that Governor Rauner blocked for home aides and child care workers. Seems like a nice thing to do and the right thing to do. Got to find money to pay for it, but that's one of those that just has to happen. Next. He's a terrorist. He's a criminal. He's an extremist. But he will be nameless. For those words, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern of New Zealand said today she would not say the name of the man accused of carrying out the attacks that killed 50 people at two mosques in Christchurch. And the fact that this guy's alive makes it even better, because this guy craves the attention. And the fact that he's alive and he's not being talked about while he's in prison, I salute her completely. And we have not said the name here either. Next, flower gift delivery service, FTD. This is amazing to me. Could go out of business.
I know.
I mean, don't people still get flowers delivered?
They do. They do.
Is Amazon delivering flowers, too?
Pro Flowers.
Yeah.
1-800 Flowers. Yeah. That's a lot of flowers.
There's a flower shop by my house that just went out of business, actually.
Yeah, because everybody orders them online.
Yeah.
Well, they order them online, but they like Teleflower, if you use them, Telefloral, they use a local shop in the area you're buying the flowers.
Farm it out.
Right. Yeah.
So why don't these flower shops merge?
I don't know. I don't
FTD
know.
FTD was the big dog, right?
Yes, and they
lost. Is the big dog. It needs to find a buyer or raise money by June 1st. Last week, the Downers Grove-based company revised a credit agreement that required it to, among other things, pay back $217.7 million in debt due in September. In a regulatory filing Monday, FTD said it expects to have the funds necessary to remain afloat into July, but not beyond then. Well, that's a fair amount of jobs, too.
Yes.
And FTD is a, you know, I mean, it's the deal. So I have no answers here other than the fact that I hope that's able to be turned around. And if Amazon buys FTD, that's fine with me.
Right. That's what they need a buyer. So yeah. Let's help them.
And this, when partnerships collide, the Blackhawks honor Jim Tomei last night. Jim Tomei and the Blackhawks together for, what, did he get one last at-bat as opposed to one last shift, Dave?
Well, not exactly, but he did drop the ceremonial drop of the puck there with Jonathan Toews out there, and one of the Vancouver players came out and a little photo op. They did a little ceremony beforehand with Gene Honda in the atrium to honor him. And
cool,
you know, it's and
Tommy's a good guy.
He's a wonderful guy, and you know, he had just lost his dad I believe 2 days earlier, Chuck Tomei, who passed away rather suddenly, and is being remembered very fondly in Peoria, where he was kind of a local legend himself. So obviously tough times for the family, but a really good night, and he seemed to really enjoy it last night. Jim,
you know, I've done that puck drop.
Mm-hmm.
It's nerve-wracking, you know, because when you watch the NHL referees and linesmen,
mm-hmm.
when they drop the puck, do they slam it down? Do they just drop it? You know, what do they do?
You want to do it right.
Right.
And you also don't want your fingers to get hit by a stick.
Yeah, so when I did it, it was one of the Sedin brothers in Toews. So I just took the puck and I whipped it at the Sedin brother, whipped it right at his head.
Was it Henrik or Daniel?
Hard to tell. They're both annoying.
Did you go right hand or left hand?
I went righty.
Because you're a right-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually thought about spinning it. It's like, well, what difference does that make, idiot?
You could flip it like a coin.
You're supposed to drop it flat.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, on the ice. So they can, because if it gets up on an edge, then it's harder to control.
You know, that's not really the face-off.
What?
Sorry.
I thought that was the start of the game. I guess it is harder to skate with the red carpet out there in the middle.
It does get in the way.
I'm more interested in what happened after you dropped the puck. Were you able to get back to the bench without falling down?
Yeah. You know, all the time I spent on the ice with doing the between period stuff, I never fell. I came close a few times. Do you remember when George Wendt from Cheers told me, if I fall, fall on me so it looks like a joke?
Oh, that's good advice.
I forgot you did that like every game, didn't
every
you?
Game, yeah. And it's very slippery after they Zamboni.
Mm-hmm.
Before Zamboni, it's nothing. You can walk out there. It's fine. You know, I was doing triple toe curls and sow cows and other things.
Don't you think if you had taken the taps off your shoes, it would have been easier?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so. These are the things you don't think about at the time.
When I worked for a different person in Chicago radio named Steve. Is that the guy that rhymes with doll? Yeah. He did one, and we all had to go to it. He dropped the puck, and as he was going back to the bench, it was like he was on a surfboard. The little carpet, like, took off, and he didn't actually fall, but it was embarrassing, I'm sure. And we all, you know, the team there watching him were like, should we pretend we didn't notice that he surfed to the bench, or
you would have laughed at me.
Yeah, so we had to talk about it, but it was, you know, he didn't fall, so it was
Gary Meyer fell.
Did he really?
He did.
Yeah, was that shooting the puck?
I don't know if he was out there to shoot, but I don't know if it was when he was in
actually
the act
in
of
shooting.
But
well, for somebody who thinks he's as cool as Gary does to wipe out, that's funny.
Was he wearing a cowboy boots?
I don't know.
Don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I just know it's legendary, and he never wanted to talk about it.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Video is probably somewhere on our website.
Okay, I will check that out.
By the way, did Doll make you go to everything? I don't make you go to anything.
We did used to have to, you know, I want to say because, like, you work in the afternoon and you go straight to stuff, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. Is that it? Yeah. You don't appreciate the fact that I don't ask you to do anything.
I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, we go straight to napping.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, the morning schedule takes a lot of afternoon stuff out.
I'm going to start scheduling things that I don't even want to go to just to make you guys go. It's 6:30. When we come back, we will get your headlines. But first, here's this.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
6:39, we want to hear from you. It's the little thing sometimes. We'll get to one in a second that's a really cool story. But the little things, the medium things, the big things. Sandberg, how do people enter?
They go to WGMRadio.com/contest and click on the Kid of the Week link. And it takes just a couple of minutes to fill it out and let us know about an awesome kid.
AJ Mandala or Mandala? AJ, how do I say your last name? AJ? AJ.
Hello?
AJ. AJ, how do I say your last name?
Mandela.
Mandela. Is your radio up, bud?
Well, I'm on my phone, but...
We got a little echo thing going on. We'll work through it. So, AJ, here's what I... Joe, is this okay? Okay, we got to redial, buddy. Hold on. Hold on. I think it'd be distracting for the listeners, and I don't want to take away from the story.
Right. At least we could hear him, because if you call last week on Tuesday during our Kid of the Week segment, the listeners could not hear the kid. And
that's
we had to switch the studios, if you recall. We're talking to that kid next week again. He's getting a reboot because we had a technical difficulty.
But, major technical issues.
Yeah. So
coming up this morning, remember Domati Pongo?
I do.
Used to work here? He's a big shot in MTV now. And we're going to talk to him later this morning.
It's funny. He just posted on Facebook yesterday a memory of him covering a story from 5 years ago. That was his first assignment as a reporter. I think pretty good. He went from being at VON to WGN Radio to MTV.
Yeah, nice work.
In 5 years.
He doesn't work here?
He's a good dude.
No, he doesn't not work here, except for he works in New York for MTV.
He checks
now,
in occasionally.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, because I haven't seen him, so
yeah,
I was
yeah, he's still a team
wondering.
Member.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I miss his smile. He was always so energetic.
Yes.
No, Donald Trump works here. He just checks in occasionally.
Cool. I just don't see him.
Yeah. AJ!
Hello.
Hey, buddy. I don't know what's happened with the phone, but we're going to go ahead anyway. So you love a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich, don't you?
Yes.
But, and by the way, how old are you?
I'm 11.
11 years old. So is that sixth grade?
Fifth
grade. Even though you love a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich, there's a kid who's either a pal of yours or you sit close to in school who's got a peanut allergy.
Yes.
So what did you do?
Well, I noticed that nobody was sitting with me, or no one was sitting with him, and he was at his own allergy table. So I decided to give up eating peanut butter, and I've been sitting with him for a couple months now.
That is incredible.
AJ, you're getting the very rare sitting ovation.
Now, AJ, what did you... You stopped eating the peanut butter and jelly. What sandwich are you eating now?
Usually a ham and cheese sandwich, but it just depends on what meat we have.
Do you like ham?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's an upgrade. And when you come home, do you have a peanut butter and jelly to make up for the one you missed at lunch?
No.
You should, dude. You should make up for it. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a veterinarian.
Oh, that's cool. Do you have a dog now? Cat?
Yes. Both.
You got both? What's the dog's name?
My dog's name is Jedi.
Yeah. Nice.
How about the cat?
I have one cat named Copy, and the other one's name is Allie.
Oh.
Are the cats nice to the dog?
Yeah.
Because they, or do they steer clear of each other?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Now, AJ, I think your dad told me usually you're at band practice right now.
Yes.
Did you step out of the room, or are you just skipping?
I just didn't go.
Oh.
What do you play?
I play percussion and drums.
Nice. Cool, oh, dude.
That's a loud thing to have in your house. Percussions and drums.
Not if you're a parent. If you're a parent, you love every second of it. Are you a pretty good drummer?
I don't know. I don't think that's, like, me inside. I think it's up to other people.
Oh, very, very modest of you. Yeah.
AJ, do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have one older brother.
Oh, I bet he's a pain.
He laughed.
Is he a good dude?
Yeah, he is.
How old is he?
16.
Oh, 16. Well, he's probably cool then.
Does he drive you around?
Sometimes.
Nice.
Are you nervous riding with him because he just learned how to drive?
Depends.
Kind of get over it. He never texts while he drives, does he?
No.
Okay, good call. Listen, buddy, it's a pleasure having you on the show. You're a fine young man, and that's a very nice thing to do because you could say, hey, I love my peanut butter and jelly. I'm not giving it up. You don't want the kid to sit alone. So you changed your ways, and now you got a pal, and he's got a pal, and that's all good.
Okay, thank you.
I hope you have a great day, buddy.
Thank you. Too.
Hey, you're the kid of the week. Hold on, man. What a modest young man.
We're going to send him a Lou Malnati's gift certificate and an app gift card for being so awesome. And do you know what a life changer is that is for that kid?
It's a big
who's
deal.
Sitting by himself and then all
deal.
Of a sudden has a buddy sitting with him?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
You know what? I mean, my kid has peanut allergy. They never used to do that in the past. The kid just, with the peanut butter, ate right next to my son. I mean, they always, you know, now they're more aware of it.
Yeah,
yeah, you know. You're not allowed to bring treats in and things.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
That have,
he always was eating with kids with peanut butter. My other son ate peanut butter next to him all
the time. So now they have an allergy table.
Look at you were the moms, Mary, feeding one kid peanut butter next to your allergy.
He never had a reaction in my house.
Okay.
He only had them outside the house. Never in my house.
Well, there's different degrees, right? I mean, some kids just smell it.
Yeah, some kids just smell it. I mean,
They go and they have the reaction. Other kids have to actually take
my
a bite.
My son has to touch it. He can touch it or eat it. Either one. And he'll blow up.
So you had like Mr. Peanut living with you just to test?
No, I don't know. My other son ate peanut butter all the time and he was okay. So
yeah, well, you're lucky, I guess, right?
He didn't like it, but, you know, brothers tormenting each other.
Hey, Super Joe, what was the deal there, do you think? Super Joe's our technical engineer, producer situation. Why was I echoing but AJ wasn't?
You know, I'm not sure, and I've tried to track some of our echoing calls. We tried different lines in here, so I don't know if it's a certain carrier, but...
is it a new feature we're trying where only I echo and the listeners don't?
Yeah, like I said, we're working on a few things, so...
I can vouch for this. This is our system that's causing this, because it's happened before on the opening bell where we punch a phone line and all of a sudden it starts echoing, and we know that the phone line was fine before we put the person on the air.
I don't understand that in 2019. Yeah. I don't understand it because we have a lot of fancy stuff around here.
Right.
Because when it first studio,
it may be too fancy.
When it first started to happen, I thought it was because our lines were full and there was, you know, just the phone reacting to being, I don't know, overmodulated or something like that. Mm-hmm. But AJ was our only person on the line, so we are at a loss for words at this point.
Can we count on more echoing later, or will we not have echoing?
Do you want echoing? Because we'll get you more echoing.
No, I don't want echoing.
We'll get you more echoing, buddy.
Today's broadcast term of the day is overmodulating.
Yes. And today's number is 4. Right. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And I got a couple of things for you today, including how do you have your husband publicly slamming your boss and still go to work every day? We'll talk about that coming up.
Peanut butter
and jelly.
Peanut butter
and jelly.
First you take the peanuts and you crack them. You crack them, you crack them, crack them, crack them. Peanut butter
and jelly.
Peanut butter.
312-91-7200 is the phone number.
And you mash them.
Echoes or not, 312-91-7200 phone calls and texters. So George Conway is Kellyanne Conway's husband. George Conway was a part of the early Trump days and then left. He has been one of the most tweet-happy Trump critics in the last 2 years. It's got to be a little awkward when she goes to work every day. Or is it? Is this some sort of play being played out in front of us? George Conway, most recently this weekend, was questioning the mental state of the president and saying Congress needs to start taking this seriously because he's never been more off the rails. She was asked about it yesterday, and she said, I'm not up to speed on the morning's events, but no, I do not agree that the president's off the rails. Previously, I think it was one of the Today Show folks who said, what is the story with... no, you know who it was? It was CNN. It was CNN, and the interview with Kellyanne Conway was, I need to ask you about your husband. And Kellyanne Conway said, you wouldn't ask a man this. And she said, well, yes, I would. So the point being, I can't think of another circumstance. And we can make this text question, I suppose, 312-981-7200. Is there something you just viciously disagree with your significant other, your SO, and you're willing to argue about it in public? Now, obviously, you're not Kellyanne Conway or George Conway, but you could argue about it at dinner in front of other people. You could argue about it in front of your kids. It's just something you flat disagree on, and it can't be as simple as the Packers and the Bears.
The
Cubs and the White Sox.
Not unlike the people in Billions. Wendy Rhodes, you know, and Chuck Rhodes.
Oh, that's true.
They're very
that's
similar.
True.
She works for his enemy, right? That's how you would say it.
Exactly.
That.
Axe.
Yeah. And so I think they agreed to not discuss. You know, they don't.
Yeah, but that's a TV show.
I know.
And that's in the script. I just don't know how that works at home.
Yeah.
You know, because if you've been trashing the boss all day, and especially a boss like Trump, I'm guessing that Kellyanne Conway hears about it at work. So you go to work and you got to hear Donald Trump trashing your husband, and he's sort of making his own bed, but you got to put up with it. I don't know how that works.
Does anyone ever ask him, her husband, You know,
why do you do this to your wife?
Yeah.
I've not heard that.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Billions. Shift of topics here, but the text question remains. I saw the Billions season premiere. You guys might remember Dave tried to talk me into going back to Billions because I thought there was too much S&M on Billions for my taste. I'm not.
That was the first episode.
Yeah.
First scene in the first episode. I'm not questioning. If you're driving to work this morning and you're, you know, into S&M, well, good for you. It's none of my business. I'm not questioning that. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying it's not my thing. So I gave up on Billions. Well, I went back to Billions. And Maureen and I watched all of the first three seasons, caught up. Entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Not a single person you can like on that show, but it's entertaining. And, you know, so the big season 4 premiere was Sunday night. And looking forward to it and going, well, this is good. I'll actually watch it in real time. It sucked.
Okay, don't tell me that. I haven't watched it yet.
Maybe I'll have a different opinion.
Okay.
What did it just not meet your expectations, or was it you don't like the storyline?
I don't like the storyline, and they played it off like an Ocean's 11, down to the music.
Well, at the end of last season, it did start to, like, okay, how many times can we reboot, this working relationship, I will say. But I have not seen the season premiere yet.
So am I crazy? You could text in on that, too, at 312-981-7200. But I thought the billion season premiere was ridiculous. Now, Dave also tried to get me into The Americans.
Yeah.
I got into it and passed him.
You did. You went right. I saw a blur going past me in the binge watching
department.
How many
episodes did
you say?
That's a
lot of episodes.
75 plus.
75, yeah.
And over the last
seasons.
Couple of months, 3 months, we watched the entire 6 seasons. And finished it off with the season 6 finale, which was last spring, I guess, last night. That series was unbelievable. That did not disappoint.
You said the last few episodes were difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As you were speeding...
Elizabeth? It's crazy.
As you were speeding through them, when you start to know you've only got a handful left, did you try to slow up a little just because you didn't want it to be over?
We didn't really speed through them. We watched them all. I average about, 50 minutes, I suppose?
Well, I meant a speed through in a binging sense.
Oh.
We
never watched more than, I suppose maybe one time we watched 3 in a row, but we never watched more than 3. I think if you sit around watching 6, 7 in a row, good God, your head will explode.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you would have a reading chart that you would have like hanging on the wall and you'd mark things off? I like thinking of you and Maureen having a binge watching chart of shows you initially brushed up.
Season 3!
just to so you could track your progress. Little stars, those little stars on there.
Spoiler alert here on Billions. I can't say it out loud, but yeah, that was interesting. 630's texter says, yes, you are crazy. In other words, Billions was great.
Good.
And we got some people in here who are talking about what they fight publicly about. Oh, they brought this couple was brought up. I forgot about these guys. James Carville and his wife...
what's her name?
Carville and Matlin. I can't think of her first name. But anyway, they publicly disagree all the time, though I think that's...
Mary Matlin.
But they publicly disagree. She's a Republican. He's a Democrat.
Did the Schwarzeneggers used to... Arnold...
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, but then
they are divorced.
Well, once you have a kid with a maid, it makes it more awkward. You're arguing about different things. So the Carvels is a good one. Let's see. 847, I'm always going with my other half about climate change and how it's not true. And she believes it is. Leo says, we're always arguing. There's one more here. Bit opposite of the Conways, but I became pals with my husband's female boss.
I became pals with my husband's female boss. Okay.
Now we just tease him.
Oh. That would be... that could, your work life and your home life don't always need to be mixed. That could get complicated.
847 says, oh my God, Americans, how about the Ozarks? Or how about Ozark? Even better. Ozarks are also nice.
Do you watch Ozark?
I have not watched Ozark.
We tried to watch it, and it was like too crazy right off the bat, so then we stopped.
Texter from the 847, yes, you are nuts, and I like Billions, setting up a good season, and I miss the S&M.
See? There's something for everybody.
That's right.
In Billions.
That's right. All right, we'll come back, and Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I'm so tired of songs, tired of love songs, tired of love songs, tired of love. Just wanna go home, wanna go home, wanna go home. Oh, so tired of love songs, tired of love songs.
Texas says Tom Brady's wife Giselle openly dislikes Trump. Tom loves Trump. Goes to the White House, plays golf with him. Is that true, Dave? I think that is true.
He
loves him, but he does play golf with him.
I think he has, yeah. But
we don't know if Tom goes and gets massages with the boss, does he?
Not that I've heard of.
6-3, I watched the entire series of The Americans in about 6 months. I felt the loss when it was done. Great show. That's the big problem with binge watching.
Mm-hmm.
You binge watch, and when it's over, you go, well, now what? It's over.
Or do it like I do it, where you watch one season, and then a couple of years later, you watch the second season.
So you're like, you like kind of binge watch.
Yeah, I've been watching. There's a show on Netflix, Bloodline.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great show.
What's the premise?
It's about a family in the Keys, mm-hmm. and there's some dysfunction.
Is that with Sissy Spacek?
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't get into that. I tried.
I know. It takes a little doing, but it's a really good show. But it's three seasons. I think we started watching the first season when it first dropped, which was like 5 or 6 years ago. And I still am on like season three.
Okay. So, Mary, you hear that? Dave's recommending it, but it's taking him five years.
But that's more a function of the way I watch.
And how do you remember what the last episode was? You have to like rewatch it.
Well, there's always a recap.
I guess. But I wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah.
See, I swore I was not going to get involved in this binge-watching nonsense, and now I'm in.
Except for once golf season starts.
No, it's over.
You're off the table for binge-watching,
yeah,
right?
It's over. Yeah. It's over. Here's another show you ought to watch, and you could binge-watch this, I suppose, is Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
I actually watched Last Week Tonight on Sunday, and I watched this week's Last Week Tonight last night.
So you watched last week's Last Week Tonight Sunday and this week's Last Week Tonight last night.
Correct.
I got that.
And there isn't one next. There's no Last Week next week.
Why is that?
He said at the end of the show, we're off next week. See you in 2 weeks.
He's probably on spring break.
So last week isn't on next week. It's on in 2 weeks.
That's correct.
So last night isn't on every night.
No,
it's on once
night.
A week.
Oh.
It's on once a night on Sundays. Last week is Sunday night normally. But for Dave, last week was last week. Last on Sunday night. And then last week, this week was last night.
You just confused me.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
This week's Last Week Tonight featured Monica Lewinsky and on Sunday to discuss public shaming and something she knows about. And she's actually talking about bullying. Unlike others who claim to have a bullying campaign, she's actually talking about it. She talked about what she went through. Said it was an avalanche of pain and humiliation. Not to say I wasn't flawed and I didn't make terrible mistakes or do stupid things or say stupid things. Of course I did. Not that I was perfect, but I watched the deconstruction of me and this rebuilding of me. It's a scourge born of sexism. The scandal was named after me. Anytime that this has been referenced, we're talking about shaming, every single day in the past 20 years. So it may not be a direct reference to me, but because the investigation and scandal have my name, I'm then therefore attached to it. Listen, you can think what you want. I feel very badly for her.
And if you watch the interview with John Oliver, it's hard not to feel bad for her. Because, I mean, she was really impressive, I thought, in this interview. And I've seen her interviewed before. This was she was very candid, very frank about what it did to her.
Well, you think about who you are at 45 versus who you were at 22.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Think about who you were at 30 versus who you were at 22. And you know, Bill Clinton was 47, 8, 9, something like that.
Yeah.
When he had the thing with Monica. And he was also, by the way, the president of the United States.
And married.
And, well, of course, and married. And so it's wrong all over. But, you know, listen, I'm completely judgmental about it. My scorecard is more wrong for him than her. And she's the one owning it. She's the one now saying, look, I screwed up. I said stupid things. I did hurtful, stupid things. And but she is now lived longer as Monica Lewinsky, the vixen, than she did as Monica Lewinsky. She's not married. She doesn't have kids. She hasn't been able to have a lasting relationship. I don't know that she's had a lasting career.
She said that after she went to graduate school, got her master's, she couldn't get a job. And she basically had to kind of not reinvent herself, but she had a tough time getting hired. You know, I mean,
she had that purse company for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Her net worth, according to Celebrity Net Worth, is $500,000. Wow, I thought it was a little bit less.
Well, I mean, I think she did okay.
Yeah.
You know, on speaking engagements and various things. I mean, $500,000 isn't, you know, all the money in the world, but
right.
Yeah, it's just it's been completely out of balance and been unfair. And Bill Clinton, who has amazing favorability ratings still to this day, got angry the last time this was brought up. It was brought up by an NBC reporter in an interview.
Right.
You know, should you publicly apologize to Monica Lewinsky? And he got mad at the question.
Yeah.
So
this was set up, by the way, on the show by the Varsity Blues scandal, the college admissions thing,
mm-hmm.
and
telling that story first,
and should you be putting the Lori Loughlin's daughter, was it Olivia Jade?
Olivia Jade, yeah.
Should she be subject to being ridiculed because, I mean, she's a college kid?
Yeah, I mean, does her mom have more responsibility than she does? Yeah, right. Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was 18 years old. I mean, she knew what was going on, and she needs to own part of it the same way Monica Lewinsky does now. I have no skin in the game. I don't know Monica Lewinsky. I just think she deserves to have a fair shot at life, and I don't think she's had that.
You can't. It's hard to own stuff when you're so young. A lot of owning comes with age and perspective.
Yep.
That you can't even. Olivia Jade probably can't even own it as she will when she's a 45-year-old. You know.
Here's Bill Clinton responding to that question that I referenced. Listen.
Well, I asked if you'd ever apologized, and you said you had.
I have.
You've apologized to her.
I apologize to everybody in the world.
And it goes downhill from there. That's not owning it. That's not manning up. You know, that's not, I apologize to everybody in the world. The only reason Bill Clinton apologized is because he got caught. The only reason he apologized is because he got caught and he was impeached, and he said on camera in public, I'm sorry. And he went through that public whatever with all the reverend. There was a team of religious folks that came through and worked with him. And by the way, I don't judge their marriage either. The fact that they stayed together, it's perfectly fine. That's between Hillary and Bill. Good for them. But Monica Lewinsky, I don't think, has been treated fairly throughout this. And I hope that the good comes out of this. It seems like in the last couple of years that she's been talking about this bullying thing, she's done a lot of good so far. So I hope people keep putting her in. By the way, she's welcome here. I'd talk to her. As a matter of fact, we should see again. I know we couldn't get her before. Let's see if we can get her on.
Yeah, definitely. I will try that. They, in this case, both women, his wife, Hillary, and Monica, they somehow took the brunt of this, even though he's kind of, you know, there was a lot of, well, Hillary, why wouldn't you cheat on her? She's, you know.
Which is ridiculous.
Horrible, angry, right, human. And then there's women that are angry with her for staying with him. You know, like, they've had to take, and then Monica has been bullied. And then Bill Clinton, everyone loves him and wants to play golf with him, you know.
Well, I've said for 20 years, and Dave, I'm sure you remember this, guys were ready to take Clinton apart. Much more than women were. Women were mad at Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Guys were mad at Bill Clinton. I thought Bill Clinton should have been removed from office. And I think not removing Bill Clinton from office at that point was the beginning of lowering the standards of the office of the presidency to the point where we are now, which is just a very, very bad joke.
I think it was 2020 did a retrospective on the whole thing, like just a couple of months ago. Was it the 20th anniversary? No, it's a little more than 20 years.
No,
right?
It was 98. So it would have been last year.
Yeah. It was a really well-done show, but you realize how all-encompassing, how consumed we were with the story.
The whole country, right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was a... our memories are different of it, I think, because there isn't so much social media record. Like now, you can go and see what everybody is saying now about everything now. But, you know, we didn't have that 21 years ago, so... It was a full front page, everything, every tabloid,
and the snarky comments that were made, that there was no social media, so the snarky comments were actually made by sort of the mainstream media.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't hide behind an anonymous line on a Twitter post. 6-3-0, remember, Monica didn't out the affair. Linda Tripp did. Gets lost in all this. Monica didn't come out looking for money or anything. Linda Tripp told Monica made the mistake of confiding in her. That's also true. So she's out there talking about not bullying people and not shaming people for mistakes they've made in the past. If you, that's not a worthy discussion to you, then I don't know what would be. You know, Hillary has a right to be angry about it and remain angry about it. Bill Clinton doesn't. And Bill Clinton hasn't done the right thing at all. By the way, we got a texter, Dave, after they said, a separate texter said, you and I just reinvented who's on first in the discussion of last week tonight.
That's sort of how it sounded to me while you were recounting it.
So here's a question, 630. When Dave watched last night, was he laying on my pillow? Is that my pillow or my pillow? Or is that Karen's my pillow next to him wearing where she's sleeping on her pillow? We'll get back to you on that. We have to break that down and telestrate it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Starting to see stories about marshmallow peeps already. I hate marshmallow peeps. Nasty little colored marshmallow creeps. That's what they ought to be called, creeps. They're not peeps.
What do you have against them? I mean, I don't eat them, but what do you have against them?
I did come out kind of hot there, didn't I?
Yeah, I mean, really, aren't there things you really should be more upset about?
Well, you see, Dave, most candy is good. Peeps are not.
Peeps are not.
Mm-hmm. Then why are they so popular, Joe?
Because they're cute, but cute. Yeah, but they taste bad. It's all a trick. It's all a game.
Our kids like them, but they eat marshmallows. They think marshmallows are a snack or a treat.
I never like marshmallows.
Right. So if you don't like a marshmallow, though, yeah. I like a marshmallow when it's in the form of a Rice Krispie treat or a marshmallow dream bar.
What about a s'more?
Ooh, I will eat it. No. I'll eat a s'more.
No, I love chocolate. I won't even eat a s'more.
Really?
No. And you know, when I was a kid, we had a lot of bonfires, you know, because we hadn't invented fire yet.
Yeah.
That's a whole name. And, you know, you stick a marshmallow on the end of a stick and you roast a marshmallow. Yeah, I don't like those either. Yeah. Matter of fact, I used to throw the marshmallow, like flick the stick hard until the marshmallow would fly off and I'd eat the stick.
Eat the stick.
Yeah, it's tasty.
I like my marshmallows burnt, the ones on the fire. I like to get the black crust on it.
Oh, me too. I only eat them burnt.
Yeah, that's how I like it.
847, the only thing peeps are good for is putting them in the microwave and watching them blow up.
That is fun.
10 times their normal size. Kids, don't try that at home without the express written consent of Major League Baseball and one of your parents. Listen, it's time now for the most valuable person on the planet. His name is Robert Miller, and miracles come in funny ways. Robert Miller is 68, and he's currently recovering from life-saving kidney transplant surgery given to him by an anonymous donor. But wait till you hear this story. Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and good health to you. Can I call you Robert or Rob, or what do you like?
Bob's good.
All right, so Bob, as I understand this, you not only got a new kidney for yourself, this is not the first time you've been involved in this sort of circumstance. Tell me the story.
About 20 years ago, I donated bone marrow to a young man in Skokie.
And that young man in Skokie, therefore, in all likelihood, had his life saved because you stepped in.
That's correct. He was dying from leukemia. And I had signed up 10 years earlier to be a bone marrow donor for someone I didn't know, and I didn't match her, but my statistics were kept in the bone marrow bank, and then I got a call 10 years later that I matched someone in Chicago who was in need of a bone marrow transplant, and I felt like I'd hit the lottery.
I had a friend to go through
like
that as well.
He said that? He felt like he hit the lottery.
Yeah, because we know.
Yes.
I had a friend that became an anonymous donor as well, and he also was able to contribute because there are very, very few compared to need in the bone marrow donor program. It's a really important thing to do.
Yes, it is. I feel like God gave me an opportunity to save a life, and how could you say no? It was the greatest thing I'd ever done in my life.
I feel like God gave me a kidney.
Yes, he did.
Because
yes,
you did. You yourself found out you were sick when?
Well, I've known I've had kidney disease for 10, 12 years. But about 2 years ago, my nephrologist told me that I was going to need a kidney transplant in somewhere between 2 and 10 years.
And that came up kind of faster than you thought it would, I suppose.
Yes, it did. I started looking in earnest about a year ago, and I worked with a nonprofit organization here in New York called Renewal, and I had a couple of false starts, some donors who fell through because the medical requirements for a donor are so strict that they couldn't get through the testing. And then about somewhere around the end of February, I got a call that they had a donor who had matched me and cleared medically. And 2 weeks later, I had a new kidney.
When did you have the surgery?
March 5th.
And how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I really am. I thought I'd feel like cruddy post-op, but I really didn't. I had to have some incisional pain, but I was out of bed the day after the surgery, and the following day I was walking the halls.
When I watched the story of you, Robert, that you did with the news station, you're getting around just fine. You're walking around outside, hanging out with your dog.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm very lucky. I feel like God has given me a new lease on life, a second chance.
Well, you deserve.
And indeed, well, you know, I never looked at what I did 20 years ago as anything heroic or anything wonderful. I always felt that I was given the opportunity to do something, and it was good for me. It made me feel good.
Sure.
And now what I'm trying to do is spread the word about organ donation. It's so important. There are 95,000 people right now waiting for a kidney in the United States, and about 20 die every day waiting. I don't know the bone marrow statistics offhand, but, you know, especially we are in a time now where there's so much hate and there's so much garbage that comes out and through the air, and it's happening like in New Zealand, that we all need to do something positive, something good. We need to do something to bring goodness into our lives.
Goodness.
And this is something we can do.
Couldn't say it any better than that. Well said by you. Let's dispel a myth here. There are some people, I'm sure, who are going to think the reason he got kidney disease is because he subjected yourself to the bone marrow transplant. No link, right?
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. In fact, you know, after I gave the bone marrow, I had zero restrictions on my life. I mean, there was no checkup, no physical, no anything. Absolutely unrelated. There's really no relationship between bone marrow donation, I think, than any with any other disease. Once you've given the bone marrow, you walk away from it, and it was the most wonderful feeling. It was the best thing I'd ever done for myself. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That it made me feel so good, humbled, but so good that I was able to save this young man's life.
I don't know the circumstances of your donor. I assume you don't either for your kidney. Is there any chance that you would meet them?
Perhaps. That's certainly up to him. But I'd like to meet him. I'd like to thank him.
God bless you. I understand your daughter lives in Chicago?
Yes, she does. She lives in Wrigleyville.
Well, I hope she's listening now. What's
she
her
and
name?
Her family. Her name is Rebecca Miller.
And you said family. You got grandkids?
Yes, I do. I have Jamie, who's 7, and Elizabeth, who's 3.
Aww. Can we agree there's nothing better than that?
You can say that again.
Yeah. And hi to my...
Especially, I'm sorry?
I was just going to say hi to my 3-year-old Abigail, my little grand squirt. It's the best.
Yes, it is.
And for you to be a healthy guy now and have all these extra years tagged on, good for you.
I'm very lucky.
You're a good
really
man.
My wife, I try. We all have to try to do good.
Absolutely, and I love the way you put it. Robert Miller is his name, and he is the most valuable person on the planet. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
And in that, you know, news clip that I watched, he has a, I think it's a either a yellow lab or a golden retriever, and that dog is by his side. You know how pets take care of you,
sure.
And you can tell that this dog is still looking out for him, sitting right next to him on the couch. It was really pretty cute. We'll post that so you can watch it.
Yeah, it's great. And the podcast of that will be up as well if you caught it in the middle, because it's certainly worth hearing all of it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Mary, Dave, and I, even Steve Grzanich, come from a time called, well, the 70s and 80s. And in the 80s, Steve, you'll remember this, we used to see guys like, I'm trying to think who used to scream, I want my MTV the most. But I remember vividly the MTV VJs talking about, it's like radio on TV. It's MTV. And our friend Delma T. Pongo now works at MTV. And Dave thought he still worked here. Delma T., I don't know, do you work here as well?
I work here whenever you call me.
Okay.
So right now I'm clocking in. So, yes, I never stopped working for WGN Radio as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's good. We love you, man. We didn't want you to leave. We thought you dumped us.
Nah, never. It's more like see you later.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, that's different. That's different.
We can still be friends, I think, is what he's saying.
This is a check-in. What are you doing for MTV?
Man, I have a show called Need to Know, which is really exciting. It's a Twitter show. It lives on Twitter Live. And we do two newscasts that are kind of like get perspectives on news that's happening. So everything from my perspective on political news all the way to just weird, fun pop culture stories. So we do two newscasts a day, one at 12 Central and then another at 4 Central. And then once a week, every Thursday night, we have kind of like a panel talk show where we talk about everything that happened in the news that week.
Who shows up on the panel?
We've had comedians who write for SNL and who write for The Daily Show all over New York. We've had activists. We had Jamila Lemieux, who was in the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. So sometime after that dropped, she joined us on the panel. Writers for Trevor Noah. By really just young upstarts in the media and comedy, you know, zeitgeist. Chop it up about the news with me.
How you like being a host?
Oh, it's fun. You know, I love it. It's fun. It's a good change of pace from doing straight news, but it actually took me like some adjustment because, you know, I'm not used to injecting my opinion and
right.
You know what I'm doing. But as we know, you know, when you come from respected news houses like WGN Radio, you know, you're used to just giving the news. Well, people aren't looking to MTV News to tell them what has happened on Twitter. They're looking for the perspective from my generation. And so that was how I kind of reconciled the difference between, okay, I'm telling you what happened, but here's my take on it. It may be another way you can think about it.
Prior to The Daily Show, MTV News was a place where people under the age of 25 in particular got news. Has The Daily Show and the splintering of where media content is provided, has that hurt you guys?
That is a great question. I don't think it's hurt us. I think it has caused us to evolve and take a new look at how we look at content. Because over at MTV now, as you know, it's changed from, you know, those news hits from the Kurt Loders all the way to, you know, now we're playing stuff like True Life and Teen Mom and all this different type of content that's, you know, far and apart from what it is that we used to do back in the day. So it creates new opportunities for different kinds of content, different reality show content. We see how that's taken off with different networks. But I think with Twitter, it's given us this entry point back into the conversation as far as journalism goes, and really taking ownership of the responsibility we have to young people to give them information and perspective that they can actually use, and it's more than just about entertainment. And so that's really kind of the mantle that I'm holding. That's what made me really want to take this job. Like, I get to talk to my generation in a way that's in my own authentic voice, and really give perspective to these kids. Like, just Friday, we reported on the kids walking out of class to protest climate change. You know, they watch MTV, and they still engage with us on the Internet. And so we're talking to them now. And coming up pretty soon, hopefully I can call back in and let you know about it. I'm hosting another series on MTV. I can't say exactly what it is just yet, but it's going to really make us part of the conversation when it comes to investigative journalism. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Hell, look at you.
Everywhere. Dunwoody, have you had to filter out a little bit of your, you were talking about your roots Chicago background to try to be more national perspective, or are you able to be authentic with where you come from?
I'm really lucky that Chicago is part of the national conversation. So, like, if I came from a city that didn't have exciting things going on, it probably would have been more of a transition. But, like, when the mayoral race just recently, and then, you know, they're in the office talking about, hey, these two black women are running for mayor of Chicago. And I'm like, Gloria and Tony, I'll call them right now. So it's nothing. You know, so it's like, right. So it gives you kind of a good, you know, it's an interesting city to be a part of. But yeah, I did have to look at retrain myself on what the MTV audience wants to know about. So, you know, as you guys know, I'm a hard news junkie. So I'm like, yo, this is the story to talk about. And they're like, yeah, this is a great story. But also, there's a 72-year-old producer from Chicago who's making trap music.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's in my own backyard. We reported on that story, and it did like 60,000 views the other day. And so, you know, even though there were really heavy things going on in the news, me having to really sit back and think about where we're positioned and know that they're getting that heavy information from other places. Sometimes they want MTV to just be MTV. And so that's really been refreshing for me. So it made me look at content not only from like a national perspective, but also rethink what we might want to talk about too.
Is this a good time for you to announce that MTV is going to go back to playing wall-to-wall music videos, or is it too early for that?
Too early. Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. You know, yeah. I once auditioned. I was asked to audition, and I did, to be a VJ on VH1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, remember when
was that like?
Well, it was like I didn't get the gig. it was they had Don Imus on and Scott Shannon. If you know New York radio at all, those are guys who were on New York radio, and they went with those guys instead. But, yeah, you sat in front of it was a one-shot, a still camera, and you just rapped. You just riffed about whatever song they told you you were talking about or whatever stuff you wanted to talk about. I thought I was delightful.
I like thinking about you being a part of, like, the I Love the 80s.
And the bubble above my head.
Yeah, and you talk about playing that song on the radio.
That's the golden era of content, man. It's so weird, too, because, like, now when it comes, like, they brought back TRL for a second, they go back and forth with bringing that show back. But, I mean, the way music videos work and with YouTube and everything and streaming services like Tidal, people are seeing videos and people are seeing viral content before you even get a chance to tell them about it. So it's really, you have to be strategic in thinking about how you present it in a new, fresh way, because chances are once it gets to TV, they've already seen it. Even on Twitter, sometimes we talk about viral moments, and by the time we get there, it's already gone triple times viral. So I think that perspective piece, this is going to be really important. So I'm hoping, like, with shows like TRL, you have nothing to do with that team, but I loved it when I was growing up. And I think what made it important was when you really connected with the VJs and you wanted to know what they thought about a thing versus the thing itself. It was almost more important what they thought about it.
Yeah, you remember Martha Quinn?
Mm-hmm. She looks
unbelievable. No, of course you don't.
You don't.
She looks.
Nina Blackwood.
Nina Blackwood's a little rough, but Martha Quinn looks unbelievable. I mean, she has.
Do you guys remember Ananda Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's got a new show now. That's my generation. I remember that one. I don't know Martha.
Ananda Lewis.
Up.
I believe I was 35 when she debuted. You remember Kurt Loder?
Kurt Loder,
for sure.
He's 73 years old.
Oh.
Did you know?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
I had the hots for Alan Hunter.
Yeah, he was Surf Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was your type.
You know, Domity, I was just thinking, if I had gotten the VH1 job and taken it, I would now be the bitter old guy at the MTV VH1 studios wondering what you were doing there. Who's this kid? Who's this whippersnapper?
Get him out of here. Well, if you were there, I wouldn't have been at WGN Radio. This would have been a whole alternate universe where I wouldn't have met Mary Boyle.
It all worked out, man.
It all worked out.
I'm proud of you. Listen, I'm proud of you. You're great. You've always been great, and there's nothing but great things ahead. What do we do to follow you on Twitter and see the show?
Yes, please follow me because I just want to thank the WGN radio listeners. It's so funny because you do the news on the air and you don't know how many people are paying attention. Naive, I know, but I've been getting so many text messages and tweets and calls and Facebook messages from WGN listeners asking where the heck I am. They can follow me at DOMETI underscore on Twitter, Dometi underscore, and my website is just myfirstname.net, Dometi.net. And they can check out the show. When you guys tweet me, let me know what you think. Let them know that Chicago is repping their own. I need all those retweets, need all those comments so they know the hometown still loves me. I really would appreciate it. So thank you guys for everything.
When are you back in town?
I don't know yet. I think I'll be in Chicago next month. Can I, like, crash the show?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you're in charge of our New York bureau. If news breaks out in New York, we're going to call you back.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
So, all right, buddy. Congrats on the success.
Thank you so much.
See you later.
I appreciate you. See you guys.
He's a great kid, and he's really doing well, and couldn't be happier for him.
He's never coming back.
No, not a chance.
As soon as he walked out the door, we were like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Nothing but upside ahead. But he is a perfect example. Like, if you got a kid that wants to get into show business now, that's a perfect example of what you have to do. You have to be willing to look in places you never had to look before. Because he is doing a show for MTV that appears solely on Twitter three times a week. I mean, that sounds like a tiny, small space in the content universe. It's a good deal. It's a good platform.
Yeah, and I've always thought Dometi should be recording books on tape because he just the way he tells a story is just
it's good.
You can't tune away when you hear him telling a story.
Yeah, he's natural.
Yeah,
he's really really good.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
First song ever played on MTV. The Buggles. Whatever happened to the Buggles? That's a question that's never been asked, including by the Buggles' parents.
You know who I bet knows? Andrea.
Probably. The 80s were
her
decade.
This would be right in her wheelhouse.
Yep. That's an 80s chick. The 80s were her decade.
According to Wikipedia, the years active are 1977 to 1982, then 2004, then 2010 to 2011, and then 2016 to present. So it looks like they take breaks and come back.
Or they keep breaking up.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Still getting text, too, about the Monica Lewinsky thing that we discussed earlier. Monica Lewinsky appearing with John Oliver Sunday night on Last Week Tonight on HBO. And look, I just sum it up this way, along with what I said earlier, that I feel for Monica Lewinsky, and I hope she is able to be successful and more successful in this anti-bullying, anti-shaming campaign she's in. But the truth is, if you trust somebody and they lie to you, I'm talking about Hillary now, if you trust somebody and they lie to you, it's not your fault. It doesn't make you stupid. You trusted them. You know, it's on the liar. The person that lied is at fault. People always feel stupid when they get lied to. I understand it's a human nature thing. But the person that it's at fault is the one that lied to you. You're not wrong for trusting them. They're wrong for lying. So I hope you're not in that. But I know a lot of people driving to work this morning probably are. And congratulations again to Stephanie Titchener. Stephanie Titchener, our lovely and talented, soon-to-be former boss as she leaves us today. She was one of the folks that ran this radio station. And I told you, ever since DeCastro brought me back in 2013, I've been uncomfortable. Because I've liked all the management, and that's just not who I am, you know, including Paul Rennie. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul Rennie, the guy that runs the place now, along with Todd Manley. But Stephanie's great, and she's going over to WLS to run that station. Lord knows they need the help. So we'll be competitors, but I know she'll be really good at the job, and we're proud of her.
And she's becoming the main boss. Like she's upgrading her position title.
Yeah, program director over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's bringing her candy with her, probably.
Yeah.
She'll leave it here.
Don't worry, Mary Vandeveld. I'm going to give you money, as I did Stephanie, to go buy me candy. So, Hawker Riddle time. What tickets are we giving away? Do you have the note there?
I have a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the Colorado Avalanche this Sunday, March 24th. Courtesy
big game.
Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And we're giving away another pair at 4:40 today with Rokan and Anna DeVlanta, so you should be listening.
From the mind of John DeCoss.
Scary place sometimes.
Created and established in 1934, the largest service in the world along Chicago's sandy shore. 1,000 men and women well-suited to save lives. With a thank you from all the people, their training revives. This is a tough one. What's he talking about here? Created and established back in 1934, the largest service in the world along Chicago's sandy shore. 1,000 men and women well-suited to save lives. With a thank you from all the people, their training revives. Fine work by John DeCoss. Again, first correct answer gets those tickets to that 7 o'clock puck drop Sunday night at the Madhouse. And hopefully a very, very important game for the Chicago Blackhawks. It is 8 o'clock. We're coming back with the stories that matter from Steve Gozanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Must say I'm impressed. We have a winner. Created and established back in 1934, the largest service in the world along Chicago's sandy shore. 1,000 men and women well-suited to save lives. With a thank you from all the people, their training revives. It's Dennis in Wheaton. That's a big game, Dennis. I hope you win. What's the answer?
That would be the lifeguards.
Ding, ding, ding!
Were you a lifeguard?
No, I was not.
Can you swim?
I can.
Could you save me if I was drowning?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Would you?
Yes.
All right, I appreciate that. Then you're a big winner. Who are you taking to the game?
Probably my wife.
Excellent, man. Thank you for listening. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, hold the line. There you go. Dennis, you're a big winner.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than my gosh.
Live to Channel 9, where the other moron is. Good morning, other moron.
Other moron checking in.
I just looked up and saw a picture of you talking to The Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
On what channel?
Looks like the Today Show. I didn't know you moved.
I didn't either.
I know. It must be old footage.
I didn't know that we were running that.
It says Army Tank named after Dwayne The Rock Johnson, now at Fort Bliss.
And they showed a shot of you and The Rock on a patio in some beautiful location.
Ooh. No, they were probably just using some file footage.
Without your permission?
Trying to show as many, handsome cut men as possible in the...
You and Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying, Dean, enough of the blazer, show us the guns.
I like to keep my guns covered up. I'm a big advocate of concealed weapons.
Hey, yesterday, when I was with the world's greatest, Abigail Grace, I was reading her a couple of books, and some of her favorite books are the Llama Llama books. So I thought it might be a nice new part of this feature if I read to you.
That I would love to hear some of the Llama Llama books.
Llama Llama books are very, very good. They're written by Anna Dudney. Sadly, she passed in 2016, but she has several books.
Is that the name of the book, or are you just stuttering?
No, there's several, but Llama Llama Mrs. Mama is a selection I've chosen for you today.
Oh, that's an all enjoy.
Llama Llama warm in bed. Llama Llama sleepy head. Llama Llama school begins today. Time to learn and time to play. Make the bed and find some clothes. Brush the teeth and blow your nose. Eat some breakfast. Clean the plate. Whoops, we're running late. There you go. What do you think?
Grandpa Steve is crazy.
Pops.
Pops.
Come on, Dean.
Like Grandpa Steve. I like Grandpa Steve.
Doesn't it make you want more Llama Llama?
Makes me want to go to the bathroom.
That's an odd response. That's not what I was looking for.
Isn't that what kids do when you...
Pop, stop reading. I have to pee. You know what happened yesterday, actually? We were watching a gripping version of Elmo's World. And that Elmo, by the way, can we agree? Terrific actor. And Dorothy the Goldfish, she's no slouch either.
Elmo was originally supposed to star in Roma. A lot of people don't know that.
Know that?
Yeah.
They should do an Elmo's World in black and white with only subtitles.
Yeah, in Spanish.
Guess what I'm thinking today? All right, so we're watching, and there was a song that came on, and I wanted to sing the song.
So I start belting out the song. I'm laying on the floor next to her while she's watching, and she locks in, man. She's three. She doesn't watch a lot of TV, so when the TV's on, boom, she's locked in. So she's locked in, and I start singing. Without even looking over, she takes her tiny little hand, picks up her arm, and covers my mouth. Just covers my mouth. Direct hit.
I like her more already.
Shut up, Pops!
Were you singing in that British-ish type voice?
What song were you singing?
It was something to do with five ducks. I don't remember. There were five ducks, and then there were four.
Quack, 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 quack.
I think there was a duck hitman somewhere.
Big overhill, far away?
Yeah.
And you were pretty punchy yesterday, because you didn't get your nap. So
I was punchy.
Punchy.
Yeah, Joe, you're a great uncle, as in a great uncle.
Good point.
So you must know the five ducks thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just singing that with Fitz the other day.
Yeah. So, anyway, I continue to look forward to these, Dean, as I have a book selection each Tuesday that I'll read to you.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know in advance.
Taking Tuesdays off now?
I'm feeling a little sick for next week. You're a completely different person. This is so interesting to me.
What do you mean?
When you're around little Abigail, you're a completely different person.
Well, don't you find me delightful in general?
No, I mean, of course, you're always delightful, but she has you right in the palm of her hand.
Please, wrapped around her finger.
Yeah.
I've said it before. If she said, "Hey, Pops, want to rob a bank?" I'd go, "Which one?" and you know, there's a little boy on the way. Did I tell you that even?
You did.
Yeah.
I don't know if you gender revealed, but you did tell me there was another child.
Imagine me with a little boy coming up, huh?
Oh, boy.
Crazy.
Oh, boy.
Netflix in the news. Aunt Becky's in the news. J.K. Rowling's in the news. Speaking of kid stuff, country music's in the news. Mama June's in the news. Llama Llama's in the news. Oh, sorry. And celebrity celebrity real estate. We always love when you go real estate agent.
I cannot wait until these kids are in college. I cannot wait until you bribe some college to get them in.
I'm reading a new book called Grumpy Dean. Grumpy Dean. We all try to have fun, and Grumpy Dean said no. I'll finish the next verse or the next page when we come back.
Steve Cochran was indicted today at bribing University of Illinois.
That kid is so smart. She'll get in when she's 10. We'll come back with the part two of this exciting moron entertainment segment in just a moment.
You're so wound up.
Yeah, punchy.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Five little ducks went out one day. Over the hill and far away.
Sing it!
Mother duck said quack, 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 quack. But only four little ducks came back.
What a mystery.
One, two.
We got a missing duck, Dean.
Three, four.
Wait.
Four little ducks went out one day.
Don't say it.
Over the hill and far away.
They're going to be okay, aren't they?
Mother duck said quack, 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 quack.
And what happened?
But only three little ducks came back.
We obviously have a duck serial killer on our hands, Dean.
For you young broadcasters listening this morning, wondering how you become one of the top radio shows in the country, most listened to top radio shows in the country. Just follow this pattern that you're hearing this morning of duck quack, quack, quack songs, and you too can be a ratings winner.
I picture somebody that, met me back in Minneapolis and listened to me through New York and Chicago and stuff. And they just were listening this morning and go, "Oh, boy. Looks like he's gone around the bend. Oh, boy. I remember when Steve was good."
Some going, I could have predicted this was going to happen.
Do you remember our parents used to call it hardening of the arteries? Remember that? That was hardening of the arteries. And if you had diabetes, you had the sugars.
That's right.
Oh, the sugars. Oh, he's got the sugars. He's got the sugars problem. All right, let's get to the entertainment, Dean. We have stuff to talk about.
We do, Steve. And one of the things that I wanted to mention is that four-day Lollapalooza passes are going on sale today. I know it's one of your favorite events of the year.
No. My favorite is when you're standing out there in 140-degree heat.
Steve does enjoy that when I'm... always on the first day. You know, I just realized today, I was looking at the press notes on this, Lollapalooza has been in Chicago for 15 years. I've been standing out on their opening days for 15 years.
Is that right?
In the 100-degree weather.
Wow.
I always like it because you usually have a hat on, too.
I do wear my fedora that usually that day.
Right, right, right. Just trying to figure out which kid buried the booze at Grant Park early enough.
Do you remember the year that Phil Rosenthal in the Tribune made fun of my hat?
Oh, yeah.
My fedora.
Yeah. Hate to break it to you, Phil. You don't need to be making fun of anybody.
He wears a Leave It to Beaver hat every day.
Exactly.
And he's making fun of my stylish fedora?
All right, now here's something else I know a little bit about.
Not getting, that I'm still holding a grudge.
Getting fired. I know a little bit about getting
yes,
fired.
Yes, you do.
Netflix fired Aunt Becky.
Yes, she will not be returning to Fuller House.
Well, that's a shock.
Yeah, that's a real shock to the show, I would imagine, a real loss for the show because of the college admission scandals. I guess you don't want an Aunt Becky, you know, being the positive influence for younger people in the house. Once they've been involved in a million-dollar college admission scandal.
We got a real teaching moment here.
There was an episode where she basically played that out in Fuller House.
Where she was trying to buy into something?
She discouraged it.
Oh, she shut it down. Well, that's complete nonsense, as we now know. But it would be great if John Stamos caught Aunt Becky trying to bribe somebody in the school.
Right.
'Cause what I see is she's going to be written off the show this way. Aunt Becky goes to visit the Olsen twins. And just like those ducks, she disappears.
This little duck went bribe, bribe, bribe.
And then she and Aunt Becky died.
Yeah, how are they going to get rid of her?
J.K. Rowling, what's up with her?
J.K. Rowling was being interviewed yesterday because the DVD and Blu-ray release of Fantastic Beasts 2 is coming out this week. And she revealed that two of the characters in the Harry Potter universe are gay. She announced that Dumbledore is gay. I think that was already out. But now she's also announced that Grindelwald is gay.
Well, I think when they had disco night at the school, that was kind of a tip-off.
When they did. Yeah. At Hogwarts, when they did Liza Minnelli night.
Yes. Plus, Dumbledore had all those wardrobe changes.
Who took my Cher wig? She says that she's less interested in the sexual side of this than she is in the deep emotions that the characters feel for each other. And some of the fans are upset about this. I go with what Conan O'Brien said about this last night. What happens between consenting wizards and their magic wands are their own business.
That's very funny. It's very funny. Listen, you know what's good about this? And I mean this because there's Harry Potter fans of all ages. And I picture some teenagers struggling with their sexuality who maybe this makes them feel a little better about themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Absolutely.
Country Music Hall of Fame.
The new inductees are Brooks and Dunn.
Woo!
Yeah, that's a good one.
Be funny if only one of them got in.
Right.
Sorry. Mr. Dunn, we have some bad news for you, I'm afraid. A record industry giant behind the scenes guy named Jerry Bradley and Ray Stevens. Do you know Ray Stevens?
From
The Streak.
The Streak and all the other funny records.
The Streak and
Ghostbusters. Wasn't that him?
I think that was Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr.
Okay, I knew it was Ray somebody.
It was Ray somebody. Really, most everybody named Ray should be inducted into the Country Music
Hall. Ray Stevens Spiders and Snakes?
He was. No, that was Jim Stafford.
Oh, that's right.
That was. But Ray Stevens did The Streak, and he's actually been a legitimate country artist over the years, but because he's done these novelty songs, he felt that people didn't take him seriously. But anyway, he's getting inducted into Country Music Hall of Fame as well.
You know how you have songs that stick in your head and you can't get the lyrics out? Spiders and Snakes is one of those for me.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
And that ain't what it takes to love me.
Quack,
you
quack,
fool,
quack.
You fool. And then we took a stroll, wound up down by the fishing hole, and she said, "Do what you want to do." I got nervous, as you might guess, to looking for something to slip down her dress when she said, "Let's make it perfectly clear. Bah, 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 I don't like spiders and snakes."
Waitress, I don't know what Steve's having, but I'll have one too. I'll have what he's having.
Wait, we have to get to the celebrity real estate.
Oh, yes. Well, tell me why Mama June was arrested quickly.
Mama June was arrested as as you might expect, for possession of crack cocaine.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes total
no
sense.
No way.
Poor little Honey Boo Boo.
I did not know she had a cocaine problem.
No one did.
Okay. Problem that you got caught. That's the biggest problem at
the
moment.
Let me reach for my wallet as you tell us about the dream job you love most.
This is my big side job that I have, a celebrity real estate agent to the stars. And Steve, I have got a honey of a deal today.
Is it unlike your other honeys?
This one may be the honeyest, the sweetest of all the honeys.
Tell me.
That I've had so far. This is the Hollywood home in which Spice Girl Mel B lived. This is the home where she lived with that Stephen Belafonte. They're now divorced.
Super Joe asked which spice this is for clarification.
This is...
Paprika?
She's Scary Spice.
Scary Spice. Okay, yeah, got it.
Scary Spice. It's a beautiful 5,200 square foot home.
Okay, where is it?
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood,
it's in Hollywood. It was built in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
20-foot high ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
The entire fourth floor is devoted to a master suite. So the entire fourth floor of this house is just one bedroom.
Why do you need that much bedroom?
Well, I don't know. I guess you could.
I will stay as far as estates go. It's a taller up and down estate. It's not a sprawling wide.
Okay.
I'm looking at photos right now.
I'm just trying to be practical. What do you think it costs to heat that thing?
Private terraces. It's got a formal living and dining room, guest kitchen. It has plumbing and electricity.
It's got its own studio.
Wanted to just add to that. And this, honey, can be yours, Steve.
For?
$5.9 million.
Well, I got $43 on me. $43. It looks like a cool place, actually.
This is a pretty cool house.
Yeah, it looks like a cool house. Wasn't Mel B and that guy involved in all sorts of sexual escapades?
They were, allegedly, yes.
Look at this. They got a phone in the bathroom. Do you see that, Steve? Like a big old-fashioned office.
School dial. Yeah.
A lot of people have phones in their bathrooms.
I know, Gene, but it's like an office phone. Like it's it's like one of our black office phones hanging under the mirror in the bathroom.
I remember I used to like hotel rooms with phones in the bathroom, and then they stopped because you didn't have to have them anymore. All right, $5.2 million. I got $43, Dave.
I'm loaded today.
Oh.
I shouldn't have said that. I've got $300.
$300 cash? How much are you willing to contribute?
For this, if we can get the house,
okay.
$343
in the kitty. And then I will come up with an additional $257 so we can double it to $6.
I'm writing the offer right now.
It's gonna be hard to beat.
$600 cash.
Too.
And you got 50? Steve's got 50.
I have 11 singles.
$655 plus 11, $666. Seems like we gotta get off that number.
Here's the conversation that I'm gonna have right after I get off with you. Scary, it's Dean.
I've got 666 simoleons. Seems like the right number, actually, for her. All right, well, let us know, because we'd like to buy it.
Scary, he not only wants to buy your house, but he would like to sing a duck song to you.
And? Llama, llama, Scary Spice's mama. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Coming up on 844, one of the great things about living in Chicago is you can see everything. And I love Cirque du Soleil. I haven't been to a Cirque du Soleil show in a while. We were going to go in Vegas last year. We didn't make it.
Yeah.
There's two regular installations in residence shows, I think, in Vegas at any given time.
We did not go to Cirque du Soleil, but we did go to a sushi restaurant where all the waiters and waitresses did dance performances.
They all wanted to be in Cirque du Soleil. Chicago native and Cirque du Soleil performer Kevin Beverly's here. He's going to Chicago Academy of Arts again after he left in 2008. He said, I'm never coming back! But today he's going back to his alma mater, and he will be performing. Are you going to be performing in Volta?
Yes, I will be.
And Volta, prior to its opening this May, you're going to go and... Are you going to show the kids some dance this morning?
Yeah, I'm going to give them a little dance performance of what I do in Volta.
So all right.
It'll be fun to go back.
So when you went to Chicago Academy of the Arts, what was your specialty or what did you want to do?
I was in the dance department. And so I...
Dance doesn't sound dangerous for sure.
Right. So I did gymnastics as a kid. So I always was this like acrobatic dancer.
Okay.
And I did my last 2 years of high school there. And I started taking circus classes right before that. And I always knew... knew that I wanted to do something more than dance.
What is acrobatic dancing mean? Like, you know, you try to break a bone or what's
it? Yeah, basically, right? Now, you basically are dancing, but doing, you know, adding my gymnastics background, like acrobatics and flips into the dance to kind of make it one fluid movement. And it's more creative movements more than just a ballet background.
Would it look like an Olympic level floor exercise?
Not to what you see on the television, no. This is a hard stage that I use. I don't have a little spring floor, a nice carpet floor.
Right.
So not as high level, but there's, I would say, better dancing than the Olympic floor routines.
Do you have good leap?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your vertical jump?
Oh, man. We just did some fitness tests at work. I don't know. I don't remember what I did. But
I have a vertical leap of over 2 inches. I mean, I could show you, but I don't want to make you feel bad.
Prove it.
Tell me about the show itself.
So Volta is a super fun show. It's one of their newer touring shows. It's about, I think the story is really about finding your true self and being really comfortable in the person that you are. And it's a really high-level show, a high-level, high-energy, lots of extreme sports. There's some BMX. But at the same time, it stays true to the Cirque du Soleil like brand with the acrobatic numbers. Like, for instance, I do a number called hoop diving, Chinese hoop diving, where basically we have these hoops that rotate, that do that spin, and we jump through them. The idea is to not hit them. So
now you said there's some BMX,
yeah,
bicycle riders.
Yeah, there's riders.
Now, have you taught them how to do dancing? Or?
Yeah, so it's kind of fun having these guys in our show with us because, you know, they're not used to the performance world, and we are not used to the street skate park world. And so, yeah, they do a lot of choreographies with us, which was very interesting to learn in the beginning. You know, we have dancers of 10 years, and then we have BMX guys in the same room learning these choreographies. So,
when did you join Cirque du Soleil?
I joined Cirque du Soleil in 2016, so when we started the creation for Volta.
Have you been around long enough now where you can suggest things?
For
the choreography?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could give my...
Like, what if we do this?
Yeah, what about that? What about this? Yeah.
Because the choreography's got to be incredibly intricate. What sort of sickos are sitting around imagining these things?
No, it's a good time. I mean, we had a choreographer and an assistant choreographer creating the show, so the artists have a lot of input in the creation. So,
but you got to be the visualization of being able to see flying in a particular way, so it's artistic and, you know, and visually pleasing.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to just a demolition derby where two people fall into each other.
No, there definitely needs to be some choreography.
Right.
So you said you started going to the Chicago Academy for Arts for your last 2 years of high school.
Yes, yeah.
And then you also were taking circus classes. Were you, prior to that, a kid just taking dance lessons, or was the goal always to get into the academy?
So I started gymnastics when I was a kid, and so I did gymnastics from like 5 years old till 9, and then I had one of my best friends who started dancing. So I kind of made that transition, and I danced competitively in the suburbs for 10 years. So that was basically my life.
What suburb?
Grays Lake.
Grays Lake? Oh,
represent,
I love
Grays
Lake.
Grays Lake. And then I actually saw Cirque du Soleil on TV, on the Bravo network. I saw Verica is one of their shows, and it completely blew my mind. Like 100%. It was the merge of dance and theater and circus and acrobatics that I didn't know existed, but it was like almost exactly what I wanted. So I found circus classes in Evanston at the Actors Gymnasium, and I started taking them around the same time that I went to the Chicago Academy. And
other than you, is there a rock star in dance now? Because, like, you know, Dave and I are old. You think of Gregory Hines for Tap, the late great Gregory Hines.
Like Baryshnikov.
Baryshnikov, Rudolf Nureyev. Is there a modern rock star?
I'm a little bit more in the circus world now, but I can't think of... I mean, there's a lot... I mean, Instagram and on social media, they have all these very big name dancer... I mean, big name. I use in quotations because social media is funny, but no, I don't know if I can give you a suggestion.
How do you get ready for a show?
Warm up. Lots of getting my body prepared, getting my mind prepared. We do 30 minutes to 40 minutes of makeup every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your headphones in, you kind of get in your mind space, finish that makeup, and then get into my warm up routine.
How much stretching?
I'd say I'd like to have 45 minutes of stretching and ab exercises, getting my back ready, and yeah.
What's the most dangerous move you make where you could get hurt or have been hurt in rehearsal?
We do a trick in the hoop diving act called three-way cross, and there's three hoops, and they're all facing different directions so that three of us acrobats, we jump into the hoops at the same time. One is at the top, one's in the middle, one's in the bottom. So my normal position is in the middle, which is the scariest because you have someone going under and someone going over.
Sure.
And so sometimes we switch, though, and sometimes under the guy jumping through the top one. So
how many times do you rehearse that before you try it in a show?
Oh, man.
Hundreds?
We had a 7-month creation, so many times. But before we go on, no. I warm up. We put down our mat, and we do a couple lines back and forth of like.
So once the show begins, that's it.
Yeah, it's it rolls because I'm on stage almost the whole time. So I'll go on stage for the first 30 minutes, and we do what we call cues, these choreographies, or I'll move a prop or be a character in some point. But then before you go on for your act, you have like 15-20 minutes, and then it's game time.
What do you do if there's a miss? If there's a miss in show, so do you make it funny?
What's fun about hoop diving? It's a very specific.
There's a sentence never heard on the show before. What's fun about hoop diving?
So what's cool about it is that it's made so that it allows you to fail. Hoop diving, there's these hoops that are just held on by magnets. So if we hit the hoop, they fall over. The audience sees that we are human. We put them back up. We look at the audience. We see if they're interested in us doing it again, which they always are. They always cheer louder. And we go back and we do it again. And we bust it. It's a really fun time. Our idea of a perfect hoop diving act is one hit.
And I would assume you're all perfectionists.
Yeah, and we even now to this day we've done I think 674 shows. I think the last one I did on Sunday night, and even to this day when we hit, we come backstage and we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that.
It's so funny in show business. You remember the bad, you don't celebrate the good.
Man, we're so bad at that.
Yeah. You mentioned Steve. You asked him who's the new big thing in dance, and you said you weren't sure. And there's like YouTubers and people with presence and whatever. I know the dancer Maddie from the Sia videos,
right?
Because Maddie she's Ziegler. A huge. YouTube or you
she
know Instagram, right? Do you aspire to be a personality like that?
You know,
with
I,
that presence,
not necessarily. No, personally, I really enjoy the art of it all. I love really digging deep. You know, on top of the hoop diving act in Volta, I'm the backup for the main character, and so I do a couple times a week. I go in as the main character, which is he tells the story, and at the end he does a 3.5-minute contemporary dance solo. And I really enjoy diving deep into this character. I think it's fun to play something and really portray it to an audience more so than have that fame. I think when I was younger, I was more interested in that fame. But,
okay,
yeah.
Can you hang around a second?
Yeah, of course.
Because I was going to show you a couple things in the break you could incorporate in the show.
Teach me your tricks.
CirqueDuSoleil.com/Volta for tickets and information. It's going to be May 18th through the 23rd. The signature Big Top, the Soldier Field lot, 1410 Museum Campus Drive. It's it's Cirque du Soleil.
Come see us.
It's always great. It's always entertaining.
It'll be fun.
And you are doing a celebrity walk-on. I'll come out and just do one of my tricks.
Of course. I'll be on the red carpet. I'll bring you back.
I do this thing where I get out of a recliner super fast.
Yeah. How long are you going to stretch, Steve, before that?
After. Yeah, on the stretch after. And 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. It's a shame we're on the 18th floor. I mean, I am really doing some amazing acrobatic things here in the studio.
I wonder if Kevin's looked at the video of us playing foot golf, because I believe we've got some footage of you kicking and whatnot that could be used.
Is that when I tore the ligament in my knee?
Yeah, they can incorporate the BMX riders.
I've definitely not seen that video, and I'd like to.
They could also incorporate the part where I went, ow, and I sat down. Kevin Beverly's here, and Cirque du Soleil Volta coming to Soldier Field for the parking lot outside of Soldier Field, the big old tent. Normally, you know, it's been at United Center. Now you're at Soldier Field, and that's a great thing. So get your tickets and do it soon. CirqueDuSoleil.com/Volta. When you go back to the Chicago Academy for the Arts today, what age kids are you going to be talking to?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to be talking to freshmen through senior. So what age is that?
No, it's your 14 to 18.
Yeah, 14 to 18. Yeah.
So are you going to be able, can you at this point, can you see a kid where you go, oh, kid's got talent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, all of those kids at the Chicago Academy, they're super talented and they have lots of drive. So,
but there are kids that separate themselves.
Yeah, of course. You know, there's the people that finish high school and they decide to do something else, and then the kids that finish high school and they soar. They do everything they want to do. It's amazing.
So what did you do at 18? Where did you go at 18?
I moved to, my dream school was the school in Montreal called the National Circus School, the L'École Nationale de Cirque de Montréal.
Dave, do they have a good football team, the circus school in Montreal?
From what I hear,
yeah. Lacrosse team. Yeah.
And what happens at the National Circus School?
So it's a three-year program, and it's like a, I would say it's compared to a conservatory. And so you have a major, you have a minor. My major was actually trapeze, and my minor was diving, which I do. And yeah, I'm not kidding.
It's fantastic.
This is a real thing. And so it's the hardest thing I've ever done. It is 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. circus all day, and then 6 p.m. to like 9 p.m. kind of academics. Like, we had French class, we had circus history, we had anatomy in French, by the way.
Had you flown on the trapeze before?
Yeah, prior at the Actors Gymnasium in Evanston, I've done some aerials, and so I had some.
So you have no fear?
Of course I have fear, but back then I didn't.
So it's all in French. Were you fluent in French before you got there?
I wasn't at all. I took some French classes.
He's going to school.
Now I speak fluently, but okay. I tried really hard.
You're taking anatomy being taught to you in French.
In French, yeah, that was tough.
And you're not fluent in French. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a challenging situation.
But they do it on purpose. They push you. You know, you take, I remember when we had trampoline class first year, and the teacher, the first 6 months, was like, I'll do French and English with you. And then after, he's like, no more. It'll just be French. So
obviously, when you're doing stuff, trapeze and various things, you can't be thinking about a miss.
Yeah. Focus is important.
But if you fall, do you have time while you're falling to go, career choices?
I think that the repetition and the rehearsals and training have trained us for all this. You know, you don't fall very much. And
but that big old net is pretty stable?
Well, the kind of trapeze that I'd used didn't have a net. So
you were wired.
When we go high, we have to make sure we're being extremely careful and we know exactly what we're doing. And when we come low, it's
are you tethered?
It's something called dance trapeze where it's basically on a winch. It's on a line that brings you up and down. And no, you're not. I'm not attached. It's just holding on by my hands. But
there's a lot of potential here to get hurt.
Yeah, and with hoop diving, it's an acrobatic form where you're jumping through these hoops, so you're not going 40 feet in the air, but there's more of a way of that you might mess up because you're literally jumping through a 3-foot hoop. So it's a little bit more of a manipulation-specific skill where in trapeze, if you mess up, like if I miss my hand, I can make it look like I didn't. But
this is a bad comparison, but I've done stand-up comedy forever.
Okay.
And comedians generally don't watch other comedians unless it's somebody they really admire.
Why is that?
It's uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah, and also we're bitter. but do athletes in Cirque du Soleil watch the show?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have.
Do you find yourself just amazed at what you're watching?
No, I think I wouldn't say amazed. I love seeing shows. I love being inspired. I told you about it's all about the art for me. So I love seeing my friends or people that I don't know performing to give me new ideas. And we have specifically at Volta backstage, we have a TV where it shows the live feed. So when we're in between cues or backstage, we're usually watching the show.
Do you ever dream moves? Like, do you wake up in the middle of the night and go,
especially
we gotta try this?
In school, I used to dream I was super flexible, and I wake up and be like, oh, I'm not actually that flexible. It's very sad, yeah.
You know, you're 28 now?
29.
29 now. You know, and that flexibility and stuff starts to go away. We talked about a 38-year-old in the show. Could you see yourself doing this another 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, the age thing is it's scary. It's the question you don't want to answer, but it's I would like to do this as long as I can.
And what do you do after? You coach? What's the career
path? People do a variety of different things. They change careers. They coach. I would like to stay in the artistic realm of it. I would like to choreograph. I'd like to direct for different companies. We'll see. Yeah, I'm really focused right now on my performing career. So I kind of act. I'm like not thinking about it. But
sure.
I
And how many days a year are you on the road?
All of it. All the days. We
How do you have a social life? Date people in the show?
That's the hard part. If you don't date someone in the show, you're doing long distance. So that's what we all do.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, our show is, we have 10 girls with 42 people in the cast. So it's
10 girls?
Yeah.
Good God, give them some protection. each girl has a guard.
But we do, between each city, we have about 5-6 days off. And then once a year, we have 2 weeks off. So. And we have one day off a week, so.
But you love the life.
I love it. I'm so happy. I was telling her, so I watched TV. I watched Cirque du Soleil as a kid, and it's what I wanted to do. And now I'm here. So.
Any brothers and sisters?
I have two older brothers who don't do what I do.
Yeah, what do they do?
oldest brother's in marketing, in business marketing, in New York City, and my middle brother is here in the suburbs. We're in a construction company. Yeah.
You ever try to teach them anything?
My middle brother, he's only 2 years older than me. He was like, I made him do acrobatics with me, and he hated it. Mm-hmm. But I still like see videos and photos of us being stupid and playing around. I'm like, see, you're the reason I did circus.
It must be cool that they come to the show.
Yeah, I always love when my family see it. When Volta was in New York, my brother and his family, he has two kids now, so my niece and nephew got to see me, and that's really fun. I want to inspire them. I want to be the cool uncle.
No kidding.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's great to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Thanks.
Congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much. Come to see Volta, guys.
Absolutely. It's CirqueDuSoleil.com/Volta, and have fun today at your alma mater, Chicago Academy for the Arts. Did you ever have a test or something you didn't finish, you need to make up, you can go back to that.
I don't want to think about the academics.
Yeah, the academics, that's old school. Yeah. Well, you made it. You're okay. You're doing fine. We'll come back in a second. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I love my dog. He's my dog. If you don't love my dog, that's
916. Hi to everybody on CLTV. And thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. This is show number 1336. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. Dave, you missed it. We just did some photos in the hallway. Sandberg, I think we can agree I was flying with the Cirque du Soleil dude.
Steve was balancing on one leg, and he was... are we hearing a beeping?
No, it's just you.
Okay. Sorry. There's a dog licking your foot. There's a dog in studio, and it jumped up, and it just scared me, even though I know the dog's in studio, so I don't know why it scared me, but it just scared me. Steve was on one leg.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Arms spread out.
Yeah.
And one leg out behind him, like Superman.
Flew across the room.
And then Kevin got into a handstand in seconds.
I let him do that.
Yeah. But then you were going to switch places, and you were going to do the handstand.
Yeah, we ran out of time.
We ran out of time. So.
Tough break.
Are you guys going to do the routine where there's three of you diving in opposite directions through
in the
rings?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you top hoop, middle hoop, or bottom hoop?
I think bottom.
Bottom hoop.
Yeah. I think closer to the ground's better for me.
Thank goodness for yoga.
So, Steve Dale's here. How have you been?
I am great and so excited for a whole lot of reasons. Tracy Elliott, the new president, CEO of the Anti-Cruelty Society, is right here,
but
right
a lot
now.
Of, a lot of kissing up going on with this guy.
No, I've got no reason. No.
Good morning.
No. I mean, this is the truth. Absolute truth. Tracy will tell you this. I was at a dog training conference, and one of the trainers, an amazing speaker, Kim Brophy, said, "You're in Chicago." I said, "Yes." She said, "You are about to have the most amazing executive director, president of your animal shelter, who we lost in our city." That's exactly
where,
what Kim
where
said.
Where did you come from?
I came from Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, it's a beautiful city.
It is a beautiful city.
Well, welcome to town.
Thank you.
Did you ever live here before?
I've never lived here. I've lived close. I've lived over near Michigan City, Indiana, and I was born over near South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, well, you're a Midwest guy.
I am indeed.
All right. Well, welcome home.
Thank you.
Tell us about the events you have coming up.
Well, we have a couple of events. On Saturday, we have a wellness fair in East Garfield Park at the 11th District Police Station. That's at 3151 West Harrison.
Okay.
And folks can bring their dogs there and get wellness services, veterinary care, nail clippings, all kinds of good stuff. So
good.
We encourage folks to come and take advantage of those services.
Any restrictions or limits or anything? Can I bring my rhinoceros if I have it?
You certainly can. We are an open door shelter. We will take rhinoceri if you have
them. Look at you, if you have more than one.
More than one.
And the other event?
Yes, Bark in the Park. 25th annual big party for dogs and dog lovers and cat lovers and animal lovers is going to be May 18th at the Stadium Green next to Soldier Field. And the walk starts at 9 o'clock and runs till 1. The event runs till 1. There's going to be live music. There's going to be food. And I seem to remember from visiting in the past that Chicago likes beer. So we're going to have some beer.
Probably.
That's very exciting. That's always a good time, that event.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. I mean,
we recommend the dogs don't drink, though.
Probably not. But there is a beer for dogs. There is such a thing.
There is.
Yes, but it doesn't have alcohol.
Do you really want your dog gassier?
No.
Dave, did you ever bring Ozzy to Bark in the Park?
No, I was just thinking about that. May 18th, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do it, and I think this might be the year.
Good, you should.
Yeah.
We'll have fun things for the dogs, too, like we'll have activities for the dogs as well.
Sure.
So
Yahtzee.
An agility course.
And sure.
Yahtzee for dogs. You know, that we hadn't thought about that.
Right.
That's so exciting. About. The dog in the studio now, available for adoption. Estella!
Yeah. Estella came from where?
She is an owner surrender. So her folks had to very sadly give her up because of housing issues. Which
well, good for them for not doing any abandoning, cowardly thing that we see way too often. They did the right thing. They came to you.
Steve, that's exactly right. We celebrate when that happens. We never judge because they have actually made sure that the animal is going to be cared for. So Estella is a beautiful 5-year-old, big shelter dog, about 60 pounds. She's got a huge smile.
Big, very sweet, too.
Where should we walk her so she can be seen on TV?
And so, Sandra, gear department.
I think that you're in that. You're in that
right where she is now. Perfect.
Yeah, right in that open.
You know, because she's a beautiful black and tan dog. Maybe some pit bull in her, whatever that means. I don't know. Mixed breed dog. Who? Here's the good news. She was treated well, correct, I think, by whoever previously had her. How can I tell this? She was well fed, clearly.
Yeah, right.
She needs a bit more exercise, probably.
Hey, who doesn't?
A sweet. Sweet dog.
She, I am looking at Estella on camera right now on CLTV. That's a perfect angle right where she is.
She immediately took to Dave and was smiling right when Dave got down on one knee next to her.
She is solid, too. She's solidly built.
So she's a perfect dog for somebody who doesn't want a small dog but needs a smaller dog. You know, like she's not a because she's not going to get taller at this point.
No, she's about 5 years old.
Yeah, so she's she loves Dave.
There we go. The dog will now be adopted because of what Dave Ennett is
the
doing.
The dog is licking Estella is licking Dave's face.
She's good. She's got the most amazing smile.
Yep.
And gives lots of kisses. Oh, clearly is indiscriminate about those because I got some.
Okay.
And you want to introduce the Estella's wrangler and friend here?
The wrangler and friend is Colette Bradley from the Anti-Cruelty Society.
Colette's been on the show many times.
Yes.
Estella
yes.
also likes Colette.
Yes, okay. Yes. You know, so the
tail
thing,
is wagging. I'm sorry.
Right now, if you're watching, for those of you not watching CLTV, you're watching Estella ignore Dave.
Yes.
But this really is a common problem, and Anti-Cruelty is doing something about it, and that is too many apartments and condominiums don't allow dogs or cats. Or allow them, but not over, and then they make up
limit.
A weight. Yeah,
right.
And they make it up. 25 pounds, 30 pounds, whatever they say is always arbitrary. And that is becoming more and more of a problem. Interestingly enough, millennials seem to want to rent more than any other demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And millennials want to adopt pets. But those places, all those high rises going up.
They're getting harder to find?
Yeah, that allow dogs, yes. Yes, and that's got to change, and I know Anti-Cruelty is working on that.
What do? You talk to the builders and the developers, or how do you change it?
We've put together a task force to look at this and to engage both residents of those buildings and also their management. And so it's just underway.
Well, if you're a renter, though, it's about responsible ownership, right?
Well, indeed it is. And if someone's not responsible, of course, they make it worse for those of us who do have animals in those apartments. The other thing that's important to remember, too, is there are a lot of places where you can have a dog or even two. I've had no problem finding an apartment here in Chicago that would allow that. But, of course, there are restrictions. There's also, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, you have to pay a deposit.
If you're a middle or lower income person, you probably cannot afford those pet deposits and that extra pet rent. So we have to look at that as well.
And that might be what happened to Estella. I believe you don't know.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Cost out. All right, Steve's got something to plug when we come back. It's 9:23, aside from Estella.
Yes.
And we'll tell you how you can adopt Estella as well. Dave, what happened?
No, I've just got to go dry my face off because she is so enthusiastic.
Dave, that wasn't her face.
When it's just my dog and me.
All right, we got a couple more minutes here with Steve Dale. And Steve, what are you plugging, by the way? You had something you needed to mention.
Well, this is kind of important, I think. In early January, on the 14th of the month, you guys probably reported, everyone reported, that there was a fire in West Chicago at a kennel that killed 31 dogs. And I thought, this can't happen again. I mean, the dogs cannot call the fire department. And there were fire alarms, but what are the dogs going to do when the fire alarm goes off? So I called up the Humane Society of the United States, Illinois director. We now have legislation legislation in place. It goes to committee tomorrow, actually, that will mandate, if passed, that kenneling facilities, boarding facilities, must have fire alarms that ring directly to first responders. They must have sprinklers, or someone must be there 24/7.
That makes total sense.
One of those choices. Right. And this happens not only, this happened awfully right outside Chicago, but it happens all over the country all too often. So I am proud to say that my hope is, anyway, you never know with legislation, but I would think it would go through. I mean, who wouldn't want something like that to go through?
Sure. If you're blocking it,
so
why?
The argument would be cost, but we're talking about now alarms that ring directly to first responders, just a couple $1,000s. Pass it on to the people, if you must, that board their dogs. We're talking 6 cents a day or 3 cents a day or something. Yep. I mean, people won't even notice that. It's worth the effort and the fact that your dog's life or cat's life may be saved now because of this. Call your state representative if you live in Illinois. Call your state senator and tell them you want this to happen. I have more information on my blog, which is stevedale.tv.
Remind everybody how they can adopt today.
Thank you. That is the most important thing. So, anticrueltysociety.org. You're located at Grand and LaSalle.
That's right.
And there's free parking. Can't say that about everything. But I'll tell you, this dog is absolutely wonderful. We've got to keep our streak going here as well. But most importantly, 5 years old, dog given up, deserves a home.
And deserves a home where you can get all the kisses.
Yes, that's this dog is a kisser.
Yeah, like it very much. Eat Travel Rock coming up. We'll talk about that after the news and the headlines. And give me your website one more time.
Anticruelty.org.
Thanks for doing the work you do.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, guys. Thank you, Collette. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jennifer.
I'm Kelly Rizzo, and my extreme passion for food, travel, and music fuels my entire life. From growing up in a Sicilian family in Chicago who raised me to explore and expand my palate, to learning everything I can about the travel industry and putting it to use, and spending my years immersed in the culture and lifeblood that is rock and roll, I now want to share it all with you. Come with me to experience the hottest destinations of food, travel, and music around the world. It's time to eat, travel, rock.
Lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder.
Chicago's very own Kelly Rizzo. You can download the Rock Chicago guide. Just give me your email and it's done. First go to eattravelrock.com. So here's my pro tip to you today. Pay attention, because in the next few minutes we're going to tell you how to be a social media star, how to be super viral. And I'm not talking the flu. Mm-hmm. I'm talking social media viral. And to be the modern hit star that Kelly Rizzo is. How's that for an intro, Kelly? Pretty good, huh?
That was the best intro I have ever had, hands down. So thank you for that. I'm very impressed.
I think you should make it your ringtone.
I know. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me on. This is so exciting.
So let's talk basics here. Eat Travel Rock, the Chicago City Guide. Very easy to navigate, cool to bounce through, and a great thing to do. You know this, Kelly, because you grew up here. Sometimes when people come to visit, you go, I don't know where to take them, because you got your places, and you can just go, well, let's look at my rock guide for Chicago, and you lay it all out here. For instance, Italian, you say Formentos.
Love Formentos. It's so great because it has a little bit of the old school, a little bit of the new school. It has, you know, a modern, trendy feel. You know, it's in the West Loop. It's like the cool place to bring people, but yet it still has that like classic Italian, you know, a little bit of modern, but a little bit of rustic menu. So it's kind of great for no matter what kind of Italian you're looking for. It's a great place to point people in that direction.
Sushi of Sushi San. Now let me tell you something, Dave. I could live on shrimp toast. Shrimp toast in the morning, shrimp toast for lunch, shrimp toast at supper time.
And you never see it anywhere anymore.
No, you don't. And so you say sushi sounds great for this.
Yeah, and it's more of an experience, too, because their sushi is fantastic, of course, and it's let us entertain you. So, of course, they know what they're doing when it comes to the food. But it's like you go there and it's this amazing, like, hip-hop, you know, music scene, and it's just, you feel like you're not just out for a regular night of sushi. It's kind of a whole experience. It's like a music, food experience in one, which, of course, is what I love.
Kelly, now, putting together these city guides and whatnot, you don't just sit back in L.A. with your feet up, do a few Google searches, and then tell people where they should go to, right?
Definitely not. These are places that, whether it's for Chicago or LA or New York or Nashville, I mean, these are places that I've been to many, many times each, and I absolutely love. And you're right, like what Steve was saying is that, you know, you're constantly asked, like, oh, where should I go for dinner? And then either you draw a blank at that moment and you forget every place that you've ever been to and you forget all the places you love, or, you know, it's just kind of a pain to kind of, you know, think of all these things, you know, at once and send all the info to people. So, and especially in my line of work, I get asked this, you know, 50 times a week. And so I'm like, you know what, just to save myself some time, I'm going to put it all down, have it, you know, nice and pretty, and kind of direct people where to go and how to find all this information.
Now, how close does someone have to be to you where you'll actually give them a personal, individualized recommendation, like, you know, siblings, family members, or till you'll send them to the website, you know, like...
Yeah, where do you cut them off?
It definitely extends beyond the siblings and the immediate family member. No, I would say anyone that reaches out to me on social media, usually I'll, you know, I can point them in the direction of the city guide, but also it's really fun to, you know, if somebody's like, well, you know, I'm going out for a bachelorette party, you know, I might point them to the city guide, but then I'll always just throw in like a couple little things here and there. So I try to make it as personalized as I can, of course.
It's at eTravelRock on Instagram as well. All right, there's a billion things. On Instagram. How do you differentiate yourself? Everybody goes, I want to be the next social media star. How come you?
Well, I mean, star is a very lofty word there. However, I would say that the way to differentiate yourself on Instagram nowadays, because you're right, it's so saturated, is to be authentic. You have to be authentic and true to yourself. If you're trying to be like everybody else, it is so easy to see that, and most people can see right through it, and a lot of people out there right now are just craving authenticity, and they will navigate towards somebody that is, you know, really has a unique voice and is being true to themselves and actually has something to say versus, you know, just trying to take a pretty selfie in a bikini or...
That's me,
you know,
pretty selfie in a bikini.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, post the same food pictures over and over again. I mean, whatever it is, at least if it's a little unique or very unique and it's an authentic voice.
Kelly, Steve recently joined Instagram, I'd say, in the last 2 months.
Welcome.
Part of us educating Steve on the process is that Instagram is a very pretty medium. You want to have the visually appealing. Your pictures are great. Are they mostly shot with a real camera, or are you using your phone, or how are you getting your coloring so good?
I'm glad you asked this because it's so fun. I mean, we don't have the time now, but I mean, this is stuff I could talk about for hours. But every picture of myself is usually on, I would say 90% of the time is on a professional camera. If I'm ever taking pictures, which I don't post as many food pictures as I used to because, mm-hmm. once again, that became way too saturated. And, you know, now it's not as exciting as it used to be, if you ever did think it was exciting. But I would say it's mostly professional photos. And then what I do is I use some photo editing apps that are not, you know, to... not to like make you look different, but for color, for lighting,
balance,
and for presets, which it's kind of like a filter, but it's a much more high-end version of a filter to keep the overall look of your feed very like cohesive and consistent, and have, you know, like some people do like those more lighthearted pastel kind of light type of filters, and I like mine to be a little bit more edgy, a little bit more punchy, a little bit more like kind of crisp and high contrast.
Yours are fun, especially like on through a whole gray Chicago winter. The colors are so vibrant, you know, because I know I follow like Kristen Cavallari, and she, all her pictures, she's into the nudes and neutrals, and so pictures are just more dull compared. Yours are bright and fun, and
they pop.
It's like, right, I'm on vacation every time I'm looking at Kelly's pictures.
Yeah, and the thing is, we live in a world now, where, and I'm not knocking professional photographers. God knows we need them. But you can do so much as an amateur with photography now without knowing the ins and outs of professional photography.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to experiment, you got to play, but you can find your look and build your own brand. You know, to get back to what Sandberg was talking about before, you got to do the work. And you got to go to the places. And you were talking about places that maybe you knew or used to go to and haven't been to in a long time. And one of the places you mentioned for blues and rock is obviously Kingston Mines. And my old friend Tim Weigel, the late great Tim Weigel, used to play at Kingston Mines. Every musical legend or musical wannabe at one point or another has gone through there, and it's still a great place.
Cool. And once again, that's such a great place to bring somebody in from out of town, or, you know, if somebody's having a, you know, special event. And it really kind of bums me out that I feel just the live music culture in general is just not as a part of, you know, regular life as it used to be. I mean, I feel like that's what you used to do. You went out at night, maybe you went to a bar, and then you went to a place that had live music. And now I feel like people are just not into that as much.
Gotta get out.
I know, exactly. And so, you know, I try to point people in that direction as often as I can, and especially when I'm going out myself, that's usually one of the things I like to put on the agenda is, you know, let's hit up a blues club, a rock club, I mean, whatever it is. You gotta throw that in there.
It's Kelly Rizzo, eattravelrock.com, at eattravelrock on Instagram. As a matter of fact, she's giving away a couple tickets to see The Who in Chicago. How great is that?
I am. So at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on May 21st, The Who, it's probably their farewell tour. They haven't said it for sure, but I mean, it's pretty likely. They're 75. And
Kelly's got them dead right after this.
Right. Let them, but exactly. They'll live through this tour.
Exactly. But it's called the Moving On Tour, so I mean, that kind of is a hint. But yeah, if you go to my Instagram right now, my last post, you will see how to enter to win two tickets, and there are great seats to see The Who in Chicago.
Great talking to you. Please say hi to your husband for me, and nothing but success. At Eat Travel Rock, eattravelrock.com.
Hey, is there anybody Kelly, anybody here at home you want to say hi to?
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. My mom, Sharon, she's always listening. She loves WGN.
Oh, great.
And I know she's listening right now. So,
hi, Sharon. Come see us sometime. All right, Kelly, all the best.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you getting up. There you go.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Commodores. You know what she is? She's a brick house. Ow, she's a brick. Ow. Nah, they don't write them like this anymore. She's my tea. My tea.
Just letting it all hang out. Ow, she's a brick house.
Like it's one of those songs that makes white people dance at a wedding. Ow, gets them out of their seats. Gets that house. Bite your lower lip, hands too high kind of move. I can't endorse it. I'm just saying it happens. Tomorrow on the show, Dave will tell us who to pick in our brackets before your illegal gambling goes on.
Oh, man.
It seems to me, am I right about this? The illegal gambling here for March Madness is going out of the newsroom.
Correct. Which, well, that sort of seems...
That's like a conflict of interest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well...
Are they getting two sources for all picks?
I would hope.
Right.
I would hope.
So whatever your illegal gambling is, you need a little help. And Dave will tell you if the four top seeds are worthy. And, you know, maybe give us a sleeper or two. And I think give us your favorite in each region, Dave.
Now, okay. Dave, do we have your record on how you've been?
This got asked yesterday.
Okay. And?
I
I didn't know.
You know your record. You're the most competitive person on the planet.
Okay, that's exactly what you said.
That's exactly what I said.
So, I don't know it.
All right. He's not sharing because he's not happy with it.
But you're on the right side of 500, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So,
and you certainly...
Of course.
Now, we know you know the Big Ten. Do you know the ACC?
A little bit. I mean, I've seen these teams play.
Okay.
I mean, they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
So...
What's the weirdest name team in the brackets?
The weirdest name...
I don't even know.
Is it Wofford?
Wofford?
Wofford,
but they've been pretty good.
The
for
Wofford
a long
Wombats?
Time.
Gonzaga?
Wofford.
Gonzaga's always in
but
it.
They're a regular in this. I don't know that there are too many really.
You know, the Wofford.
Ones.
You know,
you need
Wofford's.
To mix it up a little bit.
Wofford's nickname is the Terriers.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's always the same teams, doesn't it?
Well, a lot of them.
Yeah.
But other teams do get in. We'll go over the mascots again this year. It's always fun to go through the mascots. And if you don't know anything about basketball, just do the mascot bracket. You know, get a list of all the mascots for the teams and pick them based on mascots.
Are you talking nickname or mascots? Because sometimes it's not the same.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah,
it's a good point. You can go mascots or nicknames.
Okay.
Yeah. Terriers would be a tough one to pick. We'll come back, get Bill and Wendy in here in just a second. What time are we doing that tomorrow, Sandberg? Do we need to negotiate that?
I believe 7:10.
7:10.
I'm not available at that time.
That's the only time you're not here?
Yeah.
7:10 tomorrow morning. 7:10 tomorrow morning. Dave picks the hits. Bill and Wendy next, and we'll talk to them in a moment on 7:10. I mean, what? On 720 WGN.
I'm loaded today.
Oh. Bill and Wendy are here, and always nice to see them, you know, because they work here.
That's the only reason?
No, because I like you guys.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of people in the hallways talk about you, but I like you guys.
Who's
Those are some fighting words.
Who is?
I just start crap, don't I?
What time is mascot time tomorrow? I want to hear the mascot conversation.
7:10.
7:10, you're doing that on 7:10?
Yeah. You might want to come in.
All right.
On 7:10 WGN.
Yep. There's a discount. We're offering a discount this week.
The mascots are always entertaining.
Yes. Yes. You know there's people inside those costumes, right? Those are not... Yeah, it's true.
You're pull back the curtain. Thank you.
I'm just saying...
You mean there's not a blue demon?
No, there's a guy dressed up like a blue demon. You thought there was an actual blue demon?
I thought there was a blue demon.
No, there's a man inside that costume.
You mean there's not a terrapin?
No.
You know how we do bowl, no bowl, or not a bowl?
Yeah.
What if we do mascot, not a mascot?
Oh.
That's good.
That's a good game. That's right. We're inventing on the fly the hottest new game show in America.
Oh.
Mascot, not a mascot. What are you guys doing today?
We don't have anything planned.
You're just going to look at each other and talk?
Yeah, pretty much. I brought a coloring book, so I'm going to occupy my time with that. Wendy's got the crochet, so...
You should do something involving sound.
Mm. We'll see.
Okay.
Actually, it's a Tech Tuesday, and we're going to talk about Colon Cancer Awareness Month, because it's very important to take care of your colon.
Important. You know what else I'd love you to ask her?
Who? What?
Gmail's changing again.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Gmail's killing their inbox. They're going back to this standard-ish Gmail thing.
Yeah.
And the internet, it's not happy. Let me tell you that right now.
No. No.
So I'd like to hear that. I'd like you to go,
an
what is the deal with Gmail?
Hold on a second, Steve. What is deal with Gmail?
Right.
I'll ask her that.
And tell and say there was an outraged elderly gentleman who brought it up in the studio.
All right.
See you tomorrow.